If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Marijuana, the dried leaves and flowers of the Indian hemp weed, is used in the form of a cigarette. Marijuana smoking, experts point out, can make a helpless addict of its victim within weeks, causing physical and moral ruin and death.
No!
That is absolutely not true.
You may sell that jazz to another pothead, but not to somebody who spends most of their time holding some sick kid's head while he vomits and retches sitting on a curbstone at 4 o'clock in the morning. And when his knees get enough starch back in him so he can stand up and empty his pockets, you can bet he'll turn out a stick or two of marijuana. And you can double your money. He'll be holding a sugar cube or a cap or two. So don't you con me with your mind expansion slop. I deal with kids every day. I try to clean up the mess that people like you make out of them. I'm the expert here. You're not. Marijuana is a narcotic, medically and legally. It never did anybody any good and does everybody a lot of harm.
I don't still sound like a pothead, do I?
Should you ever be confronted with the temptation of taking that first puff of a marijuana cigarette, do it.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Smoke weed every day.
Roll another one.
You got any weed?
Just like the other one.
Rape me.
This one seems to be about to quit. And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
See how they come at black people?
Butt hash.
Just like the other one.
And I'm talking about his balls.
I don't have another cent.
Balls.
But don't poke up that joint. Just pass it around.
Marijuana.
Oh.
If you smoke marijuana, you will become an unmotivated, dysfunctional loser.
Whatever.
Our feature presentation.
Good morning. It's 5:33. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on 106.7 K-Rock. And today is the 27th of March. Chicka-pow-pow! And it's really not the Kevin and Bean Show this morning.
No.
It's the way it should be. It's the way God wants it to be. It's the way Mike and I've planned for it. It is now the Mike and Lisa Show.
I mean, it's got to be a lot better for the listeners to.
Oh, yeah.
As soon as they come out of that song, they hear your beautiful voice.
Thank you. Thank you.
Instead
of Kevin making mistakes and Bean droning on.
Yeah.
You know?
Automatically complaining.
Right.
But
that's true.
There were some technical difficulties. As you know, Bean does not broadcast from here in L.A. He has his own rape island.
Private island.
Yeah, that he likes to broadcast from. And there's technical difficulties up there. So he's going cross town to a new studio. He's actually on a ferry, so I thought we would dial him up. And he's probably freezing right now.
All right, so we're going to give him a call and mock him for his crazy life. Mike's going to misdial because some things on this show never change, regardless of who's here on the mics. It's still K-Rock, and it's still Mike. We have a really good show today, by the way. If I can just mention this while you're dialing, Kevin Nealon's going to be on, and we've got Emily Blunt, who's the star of Sunshine Cleaning, which you saw, Mike. Hello?
Hey.
Bean?
Yeah?
Where the F are you?
Are we on the air?
Yeah.
Guys, I'm on a ferry. this is not how I...
Is that a euphemism?
No, I wish it were. This is... Although it does sound like a description I've heard often from Psycho Mike about his weekend.
Yes.
It's not how I hope to start my day, I'll tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
I woke up this morning and I had no main power supply for the controls that I used to make it possible for me to bring my program to you from outer space.
So is all of the power off or just the power you need to do the show?
Literally just the power for our control board.
See?
Everything else works.
This is God speaking, Bean.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think God, if he was going to smite me and kill the show, has had 20 years of opportunity to do that. Like, why wait till today?
Well, because Kevin's not here either. That's why.
Perhaps.
It's the perfect storm. And Ralph's not here. It's just me and Mike.
Wow, is this a dream for you guys?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I can't believe you even called me. Frankly, I figured you guys would run with it. You're the new Mark and Kim.
We're just mocking you. We've locked all the doors so Ralph can't get in. It's our show.
Yeah.
So it's going to be all fashion and Broadway today if it's you guys running it.
Well, you did plan the show yesterday, so we're going to have to let Kevin Nealon talk, and we'll have to talk to Emily Blunt. But come Monday, man, it's a whole new show.
It's going to be a lot of puppy dog talk.
Sure. Yeah. Lots of dog talk. Yeah.
Absolutely. And a lot of diet talk.
Uh-huh. And I'm going to a show this weekend so we can talk about that.
Wow.
It's going to be awesome.
Why don't you just invite everybody to turn their radios off now? My God.
You wait and see, man. You don't know.
You know, the truth is that although there are still some people who refuse to believe that I actually live in Seattle and do the show from there every day.
Yeah.
It has been remarkably reliable when you really look back on the last 10 years now, how infrequently we have had any kind of a technical mishap. I mean, this is extraordinarily rare.
It's true.
Something like this happens. And, of course, I had to call and wake up, Chief Engineer Scott Mason this morning and say, Scott, what do I do? And he told me the signs to look for and basically concluded long distance that the power supply had just burned out, basically. So it's not like there's a fix for something like that. So I'm currently on a boat, and I'm heading to another studio that I can work from, and I'll probably be there in 30 or 40 minutes or something like that.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you have another studio to work from. That was good planning, actually.
Yes, that at least there is some sort of a backup, although it's not the most convenient thing in the world. By the way, I am wearing pajamas on the boat right now. I had to race out of the house. I have not combed my hair. I've not splashed water on my face. I've not brushed my teeth. I have done nothing but race out, jump in the car, and try to get on the 520 ferry.
Wow, these are some lucky people you're riding with.
I'd like to point out that you interview people daily on this show, and we constantly battle with cell phone connections, and we get you on the phone, and it's the best connection I've ever heard.
Clear as a bell, yeah, and he's on a ferry.
You're on a boat.
Yeah.
I know, I'm in the middle of Puget Sound right now on a ferry, and you guys can hear me fine. You guys sound terrific, too, by the way. You're right. That's very, very strange.
It's bizarre.
But, and let me tell you what really sucks, guys, and you guys know what this is like. Whenever you're traveling, whenever you're going someplace, you know, that's the day that you want to wake up and get a good, organized start to your day, so you got all your ducks in a row, and you're ready to leave when you want to leave. I'm going to Idaho for my haircut today, all right? That's the plan for my weekend. And
what?
Now I'm going to get done with the show. I'm not even going to be at home. Now I'm going to have to take a boat back to home so that I can get dressed and get packed and all that stuff so that I can then get on another boat and leave and head to Idaho.
Gosh, I wish there were some solution to this problem, something you could do so that you wouldn't have to do all that stuff.
That's what I'm saying. If they gave haircuts in the state of Washington, I wouldn't have to do it. But I've got to drive to Idaho for one.
It's crazy that they don't. What does everyone there do?
I'm not even going to stimulate you the way you want to be stimulated. So they all go, you know, Bean, it's great. You wacky dude. You can always just not go.
You're not going to feed him?
Yeah, because you can. No, just enough. Well, go. Well, then have the horrible, unfortunate circumstance of having to take a ferry back to your house so you can drive to Idaho and get your goddamn haircut.
If I don't go, then I will not get my haircut. And you guys will have to see me next week for the April Foolishness concert, and I'm going to look like a Yeti. And I don't think anybody wants that.
I do. I want you to continue to grow your hair forever, like one of those guys in India that wants to get in the Guinness Book of World Records for his fingernails. I want you to have just lush, flowing, majestic fields of wheat.
Listen,
Bean, on your back.
The last time, let's see, I'm just thinking back to the last few times I've seen you. You look like a homeless guy with that beanie or cap on or whatever you were wearing to one of our parties. You came to Weenie Roast in pigtails.
Right.
Really, however crappy your hair looks, we're used to it.
Yeah.
We're fine with it.
So maybe you're right. Maybe I'll just forego the haircut because maybe this is a sign. But I had plans. I'm going to the Cracker Barrel for dinner tonight in Idaho. There's no Cracker Barrels in Washington either, by the way. That was another exciting, one of the reasons I chose the Spud State is because they got the Cracker Barrel. And I love that.
God. Hey, can we hang up on him?
Yeah, I think so.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, what about today's Kevin Bean show? I mean, I could have just blown it off, but there's so much cool stuff on the show. Does anyone have a schedule there?
Because, we do.
It really does sound like a plan today.
We do. We're going to talk to Mr. Movie Phone because
Russ Leatherman.
You wrote down he's gay for 3D.
Mr. Movie Phone and I are friends, and
yes.
He emailed me last week, and he said, guys, I've seen The Monsters and Aliens, which opens up today. He said, I don't know how any movie company is ever going to be able to release a film in 2D after this, because the experience is so phenomenal that anything else will just suck. Now, I know that every time an animated movie comes out, we hear, no, seriously, this is the best 3D you've ever seen. But apparently, this really is the best 3D you've ever seen. And Mr. Movie Phone is going to tell us why coming up on the 6 o'clock hour.
All right. The Three Stooges. We're talking to the Three Stooges because there's a movie that's going to be made.
In heaven?
We're talking to them in heaven because
the real ones.
Dead.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
To see what they think about this new movie.
It's amazing to me that we're able to get the Three Stooges on the phone, to tell you the truth, and that they follow so closely what happens on Earth. But yeah, apparently Ralph has been reporting that they've got the casting done for the Three Stooges movie, and we'll get the guys' take on who's going to be playing them down on Earth and see what they have to say. It's always a good time when we call the boys.
Let me tell you something about the Three Stooges. That is, it really is unfortunate that there's a whole generation of people, and Bean was talking about it yesterday, there's going to be millions of moviegoers that are not even going to be interested in the Three Stooges because they don't show those on TV anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is a sin because that is maybe the most enjoyable TV you can have, is watching guys hit each other in the head with monkey wrenches and drop anvils on each other. It's awesome. It really is the best show, and I love them so much. But there's millions of people out there who have never even experienced it and have no idea what the Three Stooges are.
Well, maybe this will be the resurgence. Maybe this is what it needs to get it back on the pop culture radar, because you're right. They are the best.
We're going to give away the World Tour Grand Prize winner today. Or we're going to draw the winner, I guess, and give away the prize.
That any city.
That's right. That's maybe the coolest of these prizes we've done, certainly in a while, because you don't have to go to Norway if you don't want to. You can choose, you know, the city of your choice.
Yeah.
So that'll be at 7:20.
And the thing that we can't get over, and this is the only thing we care about, is this Miss Cleo and the spelling bee to give away April Foolishness tickets.
We have an entire generation of geeks
who cannot spell because of spell check.
Good thing I made such a good big point about him having such a good cell phone.
But he's right. Nobody can spell anymore.
No, spell check has ruined people's ability to spell. Our intern Chip yesterday wants so desperately to be a part of this spelling bee that she was willing to come back to work today.
Yes.
She knows Miss Cleo struggles with the spelling, and it's going to be a great game. I actually got pulled over this morning. By the way, we're taking your phone calls, 1-800-520-1067 for Kevin and Bean. What it do, nephew? You get on the air, you get a prize. On my way here, I got pulled over, and I drive like an asshole all the time.
Yeah,
so
you
it's
text
no surprise.
While you drive, too.
Yeah, I text, I send emails, I often eat and drive with my knees. But I'm not a speeder, I'm not a bad driver, I drive like an asshole. I get pulled over, and the officer walks up to the car, and he says, why the heck are you going so fast? I was like, I'm really sorry. When there's no cars out this early in the morning, I have a hard time judging. And as I'm in the middle of my sentence, he goes, are you psycho, Mike?
You're kidding.
Yeah. And I'm like, you know, I'm an ancillary member of a meaningless show. So, like, that doesn't happen to me very often.
Well, and here's the question, though. This could go really well for you, or this could go really bad for you.
It went super well for me.
It did?
Yeah. He said, you're on your way to the show right now, man? And I was like, yeah, you got it. Yeah. He said, all right, man, we'll take off. Now I got a good story to tell everybody else. I said, all right! Thank you so much.
He let you off. He
let
hears
me go.
You on the
yes.
show.
He
I would have given
go.
You two tickets.
And so I don't want to say, you know, what department or, you know, obviously mention what officer because I don't want to get him in trouble. But that was very awesome. That's the first
so
time that's ever happened
cool.
to me, any type of, like, positive effect of being on the show.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. So, what did you do, nephew?
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, what it do, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
So, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
Your prize today for being on Kevin and Bean's What It Do, Nephew, is your very own Snuggie.
Oh, you're so lucky.
I do not have one, but everybody that does says that it's a life-changing experience.
But the Poncho Patrol hates you now.
Yeah, so let's go to Frank in Yorba Linda.
Okay.
Hello, Frank.
What it do, nephew?
What it do, Frank?
I love the new format, man. A quality show now ensues.
Thank you.
Yeah, Lisa and I have been planning this for a while.
Patrol? That's good. Now comedy will happen, and you guys will have interesting topics, and wow, I'm going to call more often now.
No Edmund Fitzgerald. It's going to be a whole new day.
No number days.
Mm-hmm.
True.
Great.
You're right.
I love the format. No Hello Kitty talk. No High School Musical talk.
Well, Frank, Lisa has not gone on her musical theater rant yet, though.
Yeah, but so it's not High School Musical. It's real theater.
That's true.
Oh, God. All right. Well, good luck.
Thank you. I'm glad you like the new format, Frank.
Enjoy your Snaggy.
Tom in Montebello. Hello. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
What'd it do, Tom?
What it do, baby boo, and crazy Mike?
Hey,
what's going on?
Hey, you know what? Karma's good. Thanks to Bean not doing a show, I was going to get hit yesterday thanks to that 20-foot statue of Zac Efron. Of that movie he's doing.
Yeah.
Because all little tweens stopped in their cars in front of me, got out, started taking pictures, and then I almost got rear-ended because another set of tweens tried to stop and get more pictures of that Zac Efron poster.
Where is this?
Was it on the west side? Olympic?
There's these, is it 17 again? Is that the name of the movie?
That thing. Yeah, there's like 50-foot posters all over the city.
Oh, wow.
And thanks, you know, today, Lisa, yeah. I love you. Because... Karma's pretty good, and Bean's on a ferry.
It's poetic.
All right, well, thank you, Tom.
Thanks for calling. I'm glad you didn't get hit.
Men all over West Hollywood have been saying I almost got rear-ended because of Zac Efron for years, but I don't think it had anything
Mike
to do with it. Let's go to line three.
Oh.
DeJuan Johnson, hello.
Good morning, Kevin and Dean and Lisa. What you do, nephew?
What you do, DeJuan?
Good, thank you.
What's going on?
Nothing. I felt bad that UCLA lost last weekend.
Yeah,
that was a bummer.
Their basketball season is over?
Yeah, it's officially over.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, it does suck. I know you're a big UCLA fan. But all in all, this has been a pretty disappointing season for UCLA, don't you think, Duan?
Yeah, and they're probably going to win next year.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah.
Next year. So what are you doing these days? You working?
Yeah, I only work 3 days for right now.
Oh, really? They're cutting back?
But you're going to school, too, right?
Yeah, for 2 days. Tuesday and Thursdays only.
You sound so depressed.
You're busy,
dude. Come on. Cheer up.
Is it your schedule that prevents you from calling us in the morning, you know, as frequently as you used to, Duan?
Yeah, I finally woke up early to talk to you guys today.
I can tell, and you're fresh as ever.
You're going right back to sleep, aren't you?
Hey, real quick, come on, before we end What It Do, Nephew, are you sad that Battlestar Galactica is gone? I know you were just getting into that show.
I got the series finale on my DVR. I haven't watched it yet. I watched parts of it. But in the future, I heard they're going to have the new Battlestar Galactica show.
Caprica? Is that it?
Yep.
That's the spinoff. Yeah.
Thank you, Lisa.
You're welcome.
I thought they... already got on Earth.
Well, this is a whole nother topic, Duan. We'd have to take on...
Yeah, I think this is what happened before. This shows how the robots were created. It goes way back.
It's a prequel.
Yeah, it's a prequel.
You saw the old one, they finally got on Earth.
I haven't actually seen the finale.
Don't ruin it for Lisa, Duan.
Still on my TiVo. But that's okay. It doesn't matter. It's fine. Mm-hmm. I hope that's true.
All right, you know you're always welcome to call us, Duan. We love you, dude.
Love you, too.
Take it easy, buddy.
Bye.
As Lisa said, we have a fantastic show coming up. But first, Ralph's Showbiz Beat is coming up next on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
It's 106.7 K-Rock.
I thought we had Bean on the phone. Do we have Bean on the phone?
I don't know.
I thought we were supposed to get Bean on the phone.
I talked to Bean on the phone.
Oh, I see.
I can get him on the phone. He told me, he said, I'm getting in my car. I just got off the ferry. I should be ready by about the second break of the 6 o'clock hour.
Oh, okay.
I can certainly get him.
I was told he wanted to be on the phone for Showbiz. But I guess
maybe
people
while
are
he's
lying
driving
to me in the other room.
Maybe while he's driving, he doesn't want to do that.
It's 5:55 here on the world famous K-Rock, the Kevin and Bean Show, without Kevin and or Bean, just the way we like it. It's Ralph Garman here with your show this week.
Yep.
How are you guys doing this morning?
We're fine.
Very entertaining opening. A lot of talk about theater and cell phones.
Well, you know, you do what you know.
Bean, I'm in my pajamas. I just had to jump right on the ferry.
If you're sitting next to him on the ferry, imagine how creeped out you were.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Spina bifida, greasy
dude, just
hair.
Rocking back and forth in pajamas.
Hello Kitty slippers.
And some grown-up autistic dude. Let's talk about showbiz. Chris Brown has figured out the perfect solution to make this ugly assault charge
against Rihanna go away.
Yeah.
Sources tell AbsoluteNow.com that he is doing everything he can to convince Rihanna to marry him.
Sure he is.
He wants to convince her this was a one-time mistake that will never be repeated. Unless she gets out of line again!
Word?
Apparently he's desperate to prove how devoted he is to her, and friends say she's not quite convinced yet. So she continues to draw guns on her body. You saw her recent tattoos. She's getting tattoos of guns all over her body.
Yep.
Which, if I was Chris Brown, might make me nervous, because it reminds me of that scene in Cape Fear where De Niro is working out inside his cell, getting ready for revenge, and he's got all kinds of tattoos all over him. Quotes from the Bible and whatnot. Speaking of husbands who have a lot of making up to do, David Duchovny, maybe patching things up with T. Leone after all. Apparently, cameras caught the couple on the beaches of Mystique recently.
Oh, wow.
Where they were holding hands and snuggling while they watched their kids play in the surf. So perhaps they're patching things up. Maybe David's gotten some treatment and everything's everything now.
I hope that's true.
I do, too. It wasn't the rumor that she was seeing Chris Angel or somebody, wasn't it?
Oh, God, I hope not.
T. Leone was dating some...
There was rumor she was dating somebody.
Some douchebag. Gisele Bündchen.
Yeah.
Supermodel. Tells Us Weekly magazine that she's never had to work very hard to look like that. I'm sure that makes a lot of ladies happy.
Sure.
She says just a couple years ago, she was eating cheeseburgers and chain smoking and not taking care of her body.
Great.
Why didn't I meet her then? She would have been the perfect woman. Now she says she has to work a little harder, but still, she's blessed with genetics that allow her to live a good life. Ain't it just the way?
It really is.
Robert Pattinson.
Yes.
And Kristen Stewart working together again on the sequel to Twilight. Don't deny their attraction for each other.
But he smells.
That's the thing. Kristen has a boyfriend of 4 years. Robert is single, but they say they have amazing chemistry when they're together until Kristen takes a whiff of Robert Pattinson. I don't know if you heard the story yesterday, but Bobby apparently not a big fan of showering. So some people on the set, including Teamsters, are complaining. If a Teamster is complaining that you smell bad, you smell bad.
No kidding.
Have you ever been around crew members with some of those lighting guys? Didn't they?
Yeah.
It's hard work.
You can peel wallpaper. American Idol last night, third, 36 million votes were cast last night on American Idol. Michael Sarver was the one who got the boot. He was the big, beefy, burly oil rig worker.
Who were
following. He sang Ain't Too Proud to Beg on Motown Week. And as Ryan Seacrest said, now he's begging to stay on Idol. Shut up. I will headbutt you, Ryan Seacrest. God damn it, make him stop.
Yeah.
Again, they gave the judges the option to save him with their veto power, but they opted to give him the boot.
Now, do they make him sing again before they do that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they say you're going home, but the judges have the power to let you stick around, but it all depends on how you sing right now. And they make him sing his song again. The song that wasn't good enough to get America to vote to make him stick around, he sings the same bad song again, so the judges can say, no, we're not going to keep you around.
Yeah.
It's just a spit in the face. The thing last night was even better because they hadn't decided yet. They couldn't come to a unanimous decision about him, whether to save him or not, the judges. And so Simon just took over because they were running out of time on the show. He's like, I'm just going to make a decision. No, you're going home.
Well, he hated his song.
Yeah.
None of them liked his song.
He wasn't good.
That doesn't even sound legitimate that they were trying to decide.
Well, the girls said he was good. The girls liked him. And speaking of girls,
yes.
Pete Wentz in the news. Pete Wentz tells the New York Post that his attitude towards music has changed now that he's a father. Why does Pete Wentz act like he's the first person to ever have a child?
Yeah.
Every goddamn interview, he's telling me how this is different than anything else has ever happened on the planet. No, it hasn't. He says that he is taking a detour from his Fall Out Boy music and plans to record a collection of lullabies.
Oy vey.
I'd like to apologize to Pete Wentz because I said recently that you could not be any gayer. You have proven me wrong, Pete, with your album of lullabies. Freaking Fruit Loop. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Director Quentin Tarantino. He's 46 years old today. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
Good director. Have you seen Inglourious Basterds? Have you seen any footage for that new movie?
I have not.
His new Nazi World War II movie? Just involves just slaying Nazis left and right.
bloody massacre of Nazis.
It's like Kill Bill in Germany.
It is
fantastic.
Yeah. This is not an esoteric sort of thinking man's Holocaust movie.
This is
about the American troops just blowing the crap out of Nazis.
And this is another movie, like a lot of Tarantino movies, has a really interesting cast, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it's all kind of eclectic, interesting people, but should be fascinating.
Sweet.
Mariah Carey's 39 years old today. Elizabeth Mitchell from Lost also turns 39. See Lost this week? Oh, it was good.
That was the best episode in a long time.
It's been great this year. It really has. Fergie of Black Eyed Peas turns 34. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock, KROQ, Rodney on the Rock. It's heard Paramore, and they're going to be at night number 2 of the KROQ Almost Acoustic Christmas 2008.
That's past.
And I have a feeling that Paramore won't be doing acoustic, what you just heard, but they'll be rocking out.
They
instead.
Did rock out. We saw it. It already happened.
2008 was a long time ago.
K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas.
That was months ago, Roddy. You're a little bit behind on the times.
You might talk about Coachella instead.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock. Mr. Movie Phone in Moments, the Three Stooges in Heaven. And don't forget comedian Kevin Nealon and Destination Number 7 for K-Rock's World Tour 2009. That's coming up next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Ralph, it must have been a dream, finally, for you to have no Kevin and no Bean on the show today.
I don't know if you heard Mike and Lisa's open, though. I don't know if you heard Mike and Lisa's open. I think it was an all plot. It was a plot by you to make me miss you. That's what the whole today was.
It's like, I'll show Ralph. That's all it took, right? It's just a few minutes listening to the girls talk.
That's right, yeah.
I thought it was quite unoffensive.
I thought it was Oxygen Network.
Speaking of the girls. Connection's really good. We do a lot of phone calls, but this is a really good connection.
I thought it was interesting, the fact that they do interviews.
I know.
And the one time he's the interviewee.
I know. It was good to spend some time on that.
Okay.
All right. Speaking of the girls, I don't know anything about this website, but it is holytaco.com. And they are running something in the spirit of the NCAA Men's College Basketball Championship that is going on, which starts with the 64 teams. They are running a douchebag tournament. The 2009 douchebag tournament is up and running right now. Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Douchebag madness.
Douchebag madness, exactly, yeah. And really some intriguing matchups. I missed round one. They're now in round two. And again, the website is holytaco.com. But to give you an example, for instance, they pit, say, the Octomom versus Perez Hilton. And you think about that matchup, and you go, all right, who's the biggest douchebag in that group?
Wow.
And to me, I would say probably Perez Hilton is the bigger douchebag of those two.
I don't know. She's on a roll, though. She's already taken out who did she have in the first round? She took out Dane Cook in the first round.
Yeah,
Octomom. So she's got some momentum.
Here's what holytaco.com has to say about the Octomom as you're making your decision. Being a poor, uneducated weirdo living out some insane, sublebutard fantasy doesn't make you a douchebag. Taking 14 kids down with you, on the other hand, does. All right, that's what they present for the douchebaggery for Octomom.
That's true.
Then they say for Perez, he spends his days making up gay rumors about celebrities, then attending award shows at night and pretending to be annoyed when reporters ask him questions. His blog is basically just a series of crappy pictures with crappy finger painting on them, followed by two paragraphs that seem to be written like a fourth grade child who moved here from Vietnam. I just think that Perez Hilton is more places in more annoying ways than the Octomom is. I think he affects more people with his douchebaggery than the Octomom.
The Octomom has a
tiny little circle of people that she affects.
He's aggressively douchey, and she is passively douchey.
Yeah. So I don't know what will happen. Perez, by the way, to get to round two, defeated Heidi and Spencer in the douchebag awards.
I can see that. I pick him.
I think Perez. Yeah, I pick Perez on that too.
Yeah.
All right. How about this one? Let's see. Ann Coulter versus Bill O'Reilly.
Oh.
Who's the biggest douchebag there?
I think that's easy. That's Ann Coulter with a bullet, right?
Slam dunk.
I think so too. Yeah. And the reason for me, anyway, is that because Bill O'Reilly is at least smart, at least has belief in his convictions. I think Ann Coulter just says whatever she has to say to draw a reaction and be controversial.
Yeah. I think Bill O'Reilly is also good at what he does.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a good broadcaster. I think his television show is actually entertaining.
I do.
And
too.
He does a good job with it. I don't think she's a very good writer, even on top of her insanity. I don't think she's very good at what she does.
Yeah,
plus she's nothing, a dude.
There's nothing good about her, right?
No.
Nothing. Yeah. Even those who say she's hot, again, it goes back to what Ralph has keyed in on lately, which is she may be hot for people who are on conservative talk shows. She may be hot in that category. She's certainly not hot compared to the general public of women that are available.
Yeah, I don't know who said she's hot, by the way.
There are people who cut her slack because they think she's attractive for what she does.
Yeah, like Hannity. or someone like that, maybe. But
she
I don't
looks like a bag of doorknobs to me. She's just all angles. Ever seen an entire body made up of right angles? It's very strange.
Talking about the 2009 National Douchebag Tournament at HolyTaco.com. All right, here's one in the world of sports. Mm. What do you guys think? I'll let you pick this time. You tell me who's the bigger douchebag. Is it Kobe Bryant or Sean Avery?
Oh.
Wow.
Sean Avery, of course, is the hockey player who just recently got suspended, almost ended his career this time. He got suspended for making the joke about the sloppy seconds with the girl that somebody was, his ex-girlfriend was being dated, right?
Yeah.
And then, of course, Kobe, you know, the reason they have him up here for possible douchebaggery awards is that he whined about playing with Shaq. Then Shaq left and Kobe bitched and whined that the Lakers wouldn't give him anyone to play with. Then he cheated on his wife. Then when he was confronted, he decided to throw Shaq under the bus and rat on him for being a cheater, too. And on and on and on it goes with Kobe.
Now, look, I may be biased because I'm Laker fan number one, but I got to give Sean Avery the edge here in that at least Kobe's very, like you said with Bill O'Reilly, very focused at what he does and is the best player in the world and works very hard at that. Sean Avery is a middle-of-the-road type guy and still tries to get attention in the media.
Sean Avery's a pretty good hockey player.
He's a very good hockey player, but he's no Kobe Bryant player.
He's not a Gretzky-level hockey
player. And I saw Sean Avery at a club in a leather vest with no shirt, period. I mean, that,
wow.
Yeah.
Jeez, what kind of clubs is Mike going to? Like, I don't know, by the way.
Was he oiled up?
It isn't the deal with Sean. Isn't he just a tool on the ice, too?
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't he, like, wave his arms up and down and just, like, try to create distractions instead of play hockey?
He is one of the most hated men in the NHL, and he's constantly interfering with goalies. I mean, he has been the recipient of so much anger and hatred from fans from other teams around the league because he's constantly interfering with the goalies in the crease. He's known as a real douchebag.
All right, we got time for one more. How about this one? P. Diddy versus Vince, the ShamWow guy.
Oh,
Vince rules.
Who's the bigger douche?
How can you say that about Vince?
Despite what Billy Mays said about him yesterday, I still think I picked Vince as a better guy over Sean.
Absolutely.
P. Diddy.
I agree with you. By the way, the ShamWow guy, Vince, defeated Joaquin Phoenix to make it to round two. Diddy defeated Axl Rose. Here's what they say at HolyTaco.com. Here's what they say about Diddy, why you should consider him as a douchebag. If your entire music career is based around buying somebody else's incredibly popular song, playing it back exactly it was originally recorded, and then putting your own crappy, mumbly, pretentious lyrics over it, you're probably a douchebag. Mm-hmm. If you've changed your crappy nickname three times in your career and actually sued someone over the rights to call yourself Diddy, then you're probably a douchebag. So I agree with you. I think Diddy's the bigger douche there. But, I mean, we've just scratched the surface of this douchebag tournament. I mean, obviously, there's dozens and dozens of matchups here, but that's a pretty fun deal. I don't know what you win if you are crowned ultimate douchebag at the end of it, but
get a giant bag of douche.
Well, maybe you do. Check it out. 106.7 K-Rock, KROQ, and the Kevin and Bean Show for a Friday morning. Fridays are all about the movies. We're all excited about the new movies that are opening up. Ralph has the movie beat for you later on today, and we'll talk to actress Emily Blunt, who's in the new movie called Sunshine Cleaning coming on. Speaking of new movies opening up today, this Monsters and Aliens you've been hearing so much about is finally out today. Mr. Movie Phone, on the phone with us right now, won't shut up about this goddamn movie. Hey, Mr. Movie Phone.
By the way, Emily Blunt?
Yes.
Like see her in 3D, you know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying. Now, Mr. Movie Phone emailed me a few days ago and said, guys, I saw the Monsters and Aliens, and I know you always hear that every new movie in 3D, no, this is the one that's going to turn it around. This is the one that's going to make you never want to see a 2D movie again. But apparently I should believe you. Apparently you're speaking the truth this time, right, Russ?
Well, I think so. Like, have you guys ever seen a movie in 3D?
No, actually.
Okay, that's so wrong of you as moviegoers, because the technology has come so far, and this is really going to be a geek conversation for a couple minutes, so just be warned. But the technology has come so far that I literally think after Monsters versus Aliens, a studio will not be able to release an animated movie without it being in 3D, because it is so awesome.
But Mr. Movie Phone, when I told the kids in the office that you had said that, Miss Cleo, who answers phones for us, said, do you still have to wear the dumb glasses? And I said, I think so. And she said, then I'm out. There are a certain number of people who just don't want to go and sit with little red and little blue pieces of plastic on their eyes.
See, but it's not like that anymore. And by the way, I'm starting a whole new fashion line of 3D glasses that I think you should pick up on.
I bet you are.
It's totally different. The nice thing about the glasses is you do still have to wear them, but they're not those little paper things. They're actually hermetically sealed plastic, right? So you don't have to get anybody else's ear juice on you.
All right.
Because that always sucks. And it's one of those things where it is, I think, a movie-changing experience. You know, the technology is kind of interesting. If you, right now, look straight ahead at an object and close one eye. Okay, now if you're driving, go ahead and do this too. Close one eye, and then open that eye, and then close the other eye. You see how it's offset a little bit, the image that you're looking
at? Yeah, sure. Sure.
That's how they have to shoot these things in 3D. It's literally rendering the movie twice, okay, which makes it incrementally more expensive. Now, since it's incrementally more expensive, of course, they've given us the honor of passing on those costs to us. So, for example, if you go see Monsters vs. Aliens, which, by the way, is a really cool movie for the whole family, like everybody's just going to love it, if you go see it in just 3D, I think the movie ticket's going to cost you about $13. Okay.
Okay.
So, but if you see it in IMAX 3D, if you like kick that whole thing up a notch, I think the ticket's around $15. Mm-hmm. But it is so well worth it. You know, we talk about the fact that why should we go to movie theaters and see movies, although moviegoers seem to be willing to see almost any piece of crap right now if you look at what's going on with the box office. But why spend the money, right? This is why you spend the money, because it's an experience like you cannot get at home. It's right. Different. It's a great day out or night out with the family. And the images are just, like I said, they're just awesome. So the thing I want to see next is I want to see just a regular live-action movie, just sort of a normal movie done with this 3D technology. Because like I said, it's less about gimmickry. It's less about pointing fingers at you and having stuff sort of thrown at the screen, and more about just becoming part of the experience, kind of immersive. You're just kind of in it. And literally, after 5 minutes, you forget that you're kind of watching a 3D movie with the glasses. You just sort of feel like you're in it. So I recommend Monsters vs. Aliens, and I super recommend it in 3D, and I triple recommend it in IMAX 3D.
I did hear a critique of this movie, though, that it still was being created and written in such a way that they could, you know, create these scenes where the 3D would really come at you. And the person that was talking about the movie said, you know, after a while, you could tell when the setup was happening and what they were going for, and that it adversely affected the movie, which seems to be what happens with 3D movies all the time.
Well, I think much less so than before. Like, before, it was all gimmicks, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's all it was. Certainly less so because the technology is pretty new, and listen to you guys have never even seen one.
Right.
Right? So they wanted to give you a couple special tricks, so where you're going, wow, that's totally awesome. But for me, I've seen everyone that's come out, and it started with Polar Express, and we had Coraline recently, and for me, it is much less like that now, much more immersive. And like I said, how cool would it be to just have a regular movie and just have that be your perspective? I think it'd just be awesome.
Well, I don't go to animated movies at all, Mr. Movie Phone, and I know that makes me a freak because I know some of the best movies of the last 10 years have been animated movies, but they creep me out. But
that's weird.
It's weird.
And I can't explain it, but it makes more sense to me to try a 3D movie in live action where you actually have real things that we're all used to seeing in 3D because that's how we see in the real world. I don't really understand how there can be that much depth in an animated world, which is obviously has been 2D my whole life. I don't even understand. I can't even picture what it looks like to see animation in 3D.
Okay,
I guess
why don't you get off the frickin' island to go see a movie?
All right. So the technology is amazing. Let's talk about the movie for just a second. It is from DreamWorks. It has a pretty good track record. Who's the big voice talent in this one?
It's really an unbelievable voice cast. You've got Seth Rogen. You've got Hugh Laurie. Will Arnett, Stephen Colbert, Paul Rudd, Amy Poehler,
wow,
Kiefer Sutherland, Renee Zellweger, and Reese Witherspoon is the big star. So every star in Hollywood has gotten involved in this movie. And DreamWorks, now known for putting out really excellent animated films. And in fact, I think they've even said that every one of their films going forward, they're going to do in this 3D technology. And like I said, I really do think that if you don't do it this way, it's going to set you back.
Interesting.
Right.
All right. Last question for you, Mr. Movie Phone. And by the way, moviephone.com and, of course, the new 6secondreviews.com that Mr. Movie Phone does if you ever want a quick review so that you don't waste the money but going into a movie you don't know anything about. Is this going to be tough to find the way you've advised us to see it, which is in the best theaters in IMAX or you know, just the big screen?
You know, that's an excellent question, Bean. And it's actually not hard to find at all because you would go to moviephone.com.
There you go. That's the answer right there. All right. So it's not going to be me, but but somebody needs to go see this movie this weekend and find out if Mr. Movie Phone is being paid off or if it's really as good
it's
as he
awesome.
Says. All right,
it's because... awesome.
All right, Russ, thanks for coming on the Kevin DeBeat Show. Have a great weekend.
Bye.
By the way, great news for you if you have been just beating yourself up that you didn't get tickets for Kevin DeBeat's first annual April Foolishness 1 week from tonight at the Gibson. We have some exciting news about the possibility of another chance to get those tickets coming up in about 20 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Lisa, you a fan of the Three Stooges?
I've certainly seen them.
It's a guy thing.
I think it used to be too.
Yeah, it used to be. Everybody used to say the guys loved the Three Stooges, the women couldn't figure out why. But you don't see much of the Stooges anymore. They were enormously popular for 50 years in this country. They started out in the 30s and 40s with short films and then went all the way up and made a bunch of big hit motion pictures in the 50s and 60s. And they are coming back to the big screen. The Farrelly brothers, who did There's Something About Mary and a bunch of other funny movies, are apparently doing a Three Stooges movie. Ralph has been talking about the casting all week, and it really is unbelievable who they've got, and we're going to run these choices by the actual Three Stooges themselves. Of course, you know, all the guys are actually passed away now, so we've got to fire up the hotline to heaven right now
Okay. And
find out what the Three Stooges are up to and what they think about this new movie and if this means a big comeback for their popularity here on Earth. Hello. Hello, heaven. Can you hear us?
Hello.
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 I'm always impressed that you guys seem to know that we're calling and you're standing right by the hotline to heaven on your end. That's very good work, guys.
Why, certainly! We're victims of circumstance!
ow. Spread out, you two. I'll do the talking.
Hey, leave him alone.
What do you want, you mook?
Do you guys ever just have a regular conversation, or do you just spend all of your time hitting Larry in the head?
Oh, wise guy, eh? ow. Come here, porcupine.
Well, you're killing me, Mo. Leave him alone.
Yeah. Wow. That one sounded like it really hurt. The reason we're calling is we wanted to find out what you guys think. And maybe I'll ask each individual guy what you think about the new actor who is going to be playing you in the big screen film coming out in 2010. And I'll start with you, Mo. Benicio del Toro is going to be playing Mo. He'll have the bowl cut haircut and be playing Mo. What do you think about him as a choice?
Oh, Benicio, is it?
Yeah.
That guy looks like he smells like my foot.
Do you think he can play you? I mean, can anyone really play the great Mo Howard?
Play me? I can't understand what the guy's saying. I'll myrtleize him.
All right. It looks like Sean Penn is going to be playing Larry, it looks like, in the Three Stooges movie.
Sean Penn playing me?
Yeah.
He's a gay guy, isn't he?
No, no.
He's just in a movie.
I saw him kissing some guy.
Yeah. You guys have the movie Milk in Heaven? You get to see that one?
Yeah, it's at the Heaven Octoplex.
No, he's a tremendous actor, though. He's won 2 Academy Awards. I mean, if anyone can pull off a role like this, it seems like Sean Penn would be the guy to do it.
But he likes it in the hiney, right?
No.
I'm not comfortable.
All right. How about Curly? Apparently, funny man Jim Carrey is going to be playing you, Curly. I mean, he seems like a little bit more of an obvious choice compared to the other two guys.
Jim Carrey? Right? I think he lacks the subtlety of me. Ow, look.
What are we looking at?
Look at the grouse.
Okay. What?
Ow.
What are you guys doing? Can you sit still for 1 minute and just talk?
We're hitting each other, you idiot.
Well, I know, but why? It seems like once you get to heaven, it may be time to, I don't know, just chill out.
That's what we do!
Not to mention, this bit would be nothing without the sound effects.
Before we go, any advice for any of... Why am I bothering trying to ask questions? Any advice for... Did you have anything? If you could talk to the Farrelly... All right. Three Stooges. Sounds like you're having a great time in heaven. We'll look forward to the movie. I'm sure we'll be checking in with you again.
Certainly.
Don Belleville from Menifee just won the final pair of tickets to go see The Offspring June 5th at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater before they go on sale tomorrow morning at 10. He is qualified. We could be calling him back in about a half an hour when we do the grand prize drawing for the world tour, destination number 7. He could be seeing The Offspring anywhere around the world, or maybe you can. We'll find out.
I'm sorry, Bean. Miss Cleo says it's Menifee. She's got to be...
That's what she typed up there, all right? Okay.
She is a speller.
She certainly is. Plus, funny man Kevin Nealon joins us after the news at 7. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Friday. What's going on, dude?
Did you tell the Three Stooges to stop hitting each other?
Well, it just seemed like they're in heaven now. How mm-hmm. about just dialing it down a little Why bit? Just relaxing and enjoying the golden years.
You should tell Bono to stop singing. Maybe put down the microphone. maybe he should look into some other sort of entertainment, perhaps.
So it's just, it's what they do. It's who they are, is what you're saying.
Why don't you tell Michael Flatley to stop being Lord of the Dance while you're at it, you know? Tell Chris Angel to stop doing magic tricks. Come on, man. Birds gotta fly, fish gotta swim. You know what I'm saying?
Stooges gotta poke each other's eyes
out. That's what I'm saying.
Mr. Connery, can you stop cussing?
Let's talk about celebrity news. Before I do get to the news, however, I've got a casting announcement. If you're so inclined and you want to be on television, you need your 15 minutes of fame, you think you should be famous for doing nothing, you can be on Big Brother 11. That's right. I said Big Brother 11.
I'm always surprised to hear that show's still on.
I don't know anyone who watches it yet. Isn't it an enormous hit every summer, Ralph?
That's why they keep doing it. People keep watching. If you'd like to be in Big Brother 11, the auditions are this weekend in Los Angeles. It is held at the Exclusive Casting Studios. That sounds very exclusive. 7700 West Sunset Boulevard, Los Angeles, California. It is Saturday, March the 28th. That's tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Anyone attending is asked to bring a completed application along with them. You can get the application at cbs.com/casting. You can print out your application there and bring it along with you completed to the auditions. Again, tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at 7700 West Sunset Boulevard in Los Angeles, California. Big
Brother
11.
And that means 11. You, DeJuan Johnson, if you're listening.
That'd be great.
Yeah, that would be the Big Brother house.
I'm going to watch Battlestar.
They on Earth now.
Are they on Earth now? I haven't seen the last one.
Oh, this is great news. I was mocking NBC when they put The Chopping Block on the air.
Mm-hmm.
The Chopping Block, for those of you who don't know, was a game show, a reality-type game show, with a bitter, angry chef who would mock everyone who tried to cook in the kitchen while they were all cooking. See, it was very similar to that Gordon Ramsay show.
Right. Hell's Kitchen.
Hell's Kitchen.
Right.
Yeah, The Chopping Block has been given the axe by NBC. After 3 weeks of subpar ratings, they decided to pull the kitchen competition show. And they're going to put Law & Order Criminal Intent in instead. Well, good. Another Law & Order.
Yeah, we need those.
That's what we need in the air. That's what we need.
You guys saw the promo for The Chopping Block. Can you imagine anyone seeing that 30 seconds and going, oh, yeah, I need an hour of that?
No. Apparently, Kings also has been struggling to find an audience. So people are waiting to see the fate of that show as well.
Kings is on The Chopping Block, too?
Yeah.
Oh.
No, The Chopping Block is on... Oh, never mind. Gets very confusing. Yeah, and here's Omar with more. Thank you, Omar. I thought he had something to say, but he really didn't.
Nope.
Congratulations to our buddy J.J. Abrams. Paramount Pictures has announced they've extended his overall deal with that studio through 2013. That means J.J. will continue making feature films for Paramount for many years to come.
That's great.
This comes, of course, right on the heels of the promotional release for Star Trek, which is released on May 8th. All the promotion now is starting to hit the advertising. You can't miss it. It's everywhere. And he did Cloverfield for that studio as well, which is a big success for them. So, good news for those guys. They'll be there for a while. I'm guessing Paramount would like to keep that franchise going with JJ as much as possible, too.
Sure. Yeah, he is totally gay.
What? Come on. It's JJ Abrams we're talking about.
I don't know what that kid's talking about.
I don't either. You guys see 30 Rock last night?
I heard there was something special.
No.
What, dude?
Oh, a little guest appearance by a thespian, one of the greatest
Portia
actors of our generation,
Rosie O'Donnell,
one of television's icons for the past 50 years.
Spencer,
no, a gentleman named Adam West.
Oh. Hey, baby, want to take a gander at some Adam West penis?
So good on the show last night, so funny, so handsome.
We have a clip.
I think we do have a clip from Adam's appearance on 30 Rock last night.
Ladies and gentlemen, I can't stay long. I'm on a case. The Penguin's in town. But I would like to introduce my good friend, the man of the hour, Jake Delahaye.
Jake?
It's all wrong. Everyone go home now. The party's over. I was told I'd get a meal.
Jack Donahue, actually, is his name. Not Jake Delahue at all.
Not only is he a pop culture icon of the 20th century as TV's Batman, at 80, he is still so sharp and so funny and such a welcome sight on any TV show that he guests on.
And he could kick your ass.
Yeah, he could. 80. He could kick your ass.
He's got that Connery type of machismo about him.
Grandpa Strong.
Grandpa Strong.
You can't explain it. You don't know why, but
exactly.
He just is.
Absolutely.
Today's celebrity birthday is actor Quentin Tarantino. Actor-director Quentin Tarantino is 46 years old today. Singer Mariah Carey turns 39. Elizabeth Mitchell from Lost, which has been so good this season. She's shacking up with Sawyer now.
Yeah.
They're playing. She's Juliet?
Slappy Tickle. Yeah, she plays Juliet on that show.
Now Kate's back, though. It's soap opera time.
Triangle. Triangle.
If you're a fan of Juliet.
Quadrangle.
Go to any of the porn websites, the Red Tubes, and check out the clips of her making out with Angelina Jolie.
Gia, yeah.
It's
in the HBO movie Gia.
It's the Boner Express, and it puts you right at the engineers.
It is the Boner Express. That's another good movie she was in with Tom Hanks. I think it was animated. That was in 3D. The Boner Express. Elizabeth Mitchell's 39, and Fergie of Black Eyed Peas turns 34.
That's a bell from the neck down, by the way.
34,
that's a specialty
though.
Bell.
34.
I know.
Looking rough at 34.
Rough.
Shouldn't be looking
Adam West
like
looks
that.
Younger than Fergie.
Shouldn't be looking like that at 34.
I think the body is so strong, it can compensate for.
The face sometimes, in the right light and the right angle, face is fine.
Well, listen, kids, meth will do that to you, by the way.
That's the thing. Stay away from the hard drugs, kids. Just keep it soft. That's what I say. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I can't wait for mealtime when I can chow down on the decomposing corpse of a tortured animal.
Well, you know, I've always liked watching The View. Nauseating. I mean, it's a show that, and I mean, to be working with these lovely co-host hookers, I mean, what's better than that?
I'm not a big fan of flying, you know, because you got people taking their shoes off because of the shoe bomber, right? And they're standing around their socks and their bare feet. And I'm thinking, why couldn't it have been the bra bomber? You know, I get a call from Playboy magazine, and they asked if I would review three adult films. And the first one, here's what I thought. It was called Wanda Whips Wall Street, and this was starring Veronica Hart. Very attractive. I found myself interested right away. And then I got more interested, and then very interested, very, very interested, very interested, then suddenly no interest at all.
You know our next guest from Saturday Night Live and the hit show Weeds. Please welcome Kevin Nealon.
Why is Kevin Nealon so funny? How does he do it? We've been knowing this guy for many, many years, and we couldn't be prouder or happier to have him on the lineup next Friday night for Kevin and Bean's first annual April Foolishness concert, sold out at the Gibson Amphitheater. Ladies and gentlemen, our pal Kevin Nealon back on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Kev.
Hey, how you doing?
What are you up to this morning? You're a dad with a young one around the home. Are you up burping a baby, or what's going on at your house?
I've been up for a while. Yeah, I got up at 5:30, and you know. You get up and you read the books to the kid. He's a little over 2 years old.
Right.
I don't know exactly when he was born, but I think he's around two, I think. You know, it's funny. A lot of people like details and stuff, but like a lot of comics, they know how many times they've done a Tonight Show, you know.
Right.
Like they would know specifically how many times they've done it. And I have no idea. I think I've done it like 12 times or something.
I remember when we had you in one time and we were playing a game. Remember we were playing that trivia game with your fans about your career, and they knew the first time you ever did the Tonight Show, for instance. You had no idea.
Well, I had a ballpark figure. It was
right.
Like in 84 or something. And also, you know, like people will be like they'll like me from a movie, and I can't remember the name of the character I played in that movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I do a lot of smaller parts, and it's just another character.
Well, I mentioned the April Foolishness, and I don't think we've had a chance to talk to you on the show since you agreed to do the show. But, of course, we're raising money for a phenomenal cause, Boarding for Breast Cancer. It's going to be a week from tonight at the Gibson Amphitheater, which, as I understand from talking to some of your colleagues that are going to be playing the same night, that's a great room for comedy. As big as it is, it's still a tremendous place to play.
It is, and one of the reasons I wanted to call you today is to let you know I really can't do the event.
Oh, really?
that's bad news. This lineup, by the way, Jimmy Kimmel is opening up the show, and we're bringing his house band. You've done Jim's show, so you know how great Cleto and the Cleetones are. They're going to be playing the show.
Yeah.
Let me get a word from you on some of the other acts on the bill that night, because I know you know all of these guys. Funny man Jay Moore is going to be playing that night.
Jay Moore, hilarious, great impressionist. Mm-hmm. He's a good storyteller, and he's just a funny all-around guy. I like him. I've worked him quite a bit. I've worked with him on Saturday Night Live. He'll be really fun to watch.
Patton Oswalt is going to be playing Friday night.
Patton Oswalt, a real gem. He's you know, I used to watch him a lot at these like alternative comedy nights in mm-hmm. Los Angeles, and he's just so unique. You know, he's got a lot to say about everything. So I'm looking forward to watching him. You know what? I hope I could be in the audience and just watch.
You're welcome to stay, man. You got tickets too. You know, you can do your set, then go sit back down and watch the rest of the lineup. We got Joe Rogan is playing, Ray Romano, Jeffrey Ross, Sarah Silverman. I mean, a lot of people thought when we first announced this show that because it was in April, in the week of the first week of April, that it was some sort of April Fool's gag. Like they couldn't believe we could get that many comics together for one night. But the reason is because all of you guys are, you know, doing it for charity. That's how we're able to put a show like this together.
Oh, is it 100% charity?
Yeah, we didn't. I don't think we maybe talked to you about that yet. But
that. Okay, well, whatever. Yeah,
all right.
Yeah, it's gonna be great. That is a great place to have a show, and those are some great comics right there. You know, I just saw Sarah Silverman yesterday, and we talked about it, and she's excited too.
I do have some news because this has been a very, very hot ticket. You know, this is the first time that K-Rock has done anything like this. Of course, we always do the Weenie Rose shows and the acoustic Christmas shows with the rock music.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
is the first time we've done something like
Christmas show. Yeah.
Yeah, it's always fun, right? So this is the first time we've done anything like this with the comics. And we've had just people going crazy with trying to get tickets for this thing. And, of course, it sold out in a minute. But the great news is, and Kevin, you know this from all the shows that you've done, is as you get closer to the event and they start to work out the staging and the lighting and everything else that's going on, sometimes production seats open back up. Sometimes they're able to release a few more seats to the public. They thought it was sold out, but now that they see the configuration, they know it's not. So one of the things I'm excited about being able to announce this morning on the show is at 5 o'clock today, there are going to be more seats going on sale for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. So although you were crying, although you thought you were shut out, you can't believe this lineup's going to go on without you. At 5 o'clock this afternoon through Ticketmaster, you are going to once again be able to buy tickets for the Kevin and Bean April Foolishness show a week from tonight at Gibson. And I know that news is going to make a lot
fantastic.
Of people very, very happy.
How many tickets are available? Like 2,000?
Well, no, there's not going to be nearly that many. It's going to be worth trying. Let me put it that way. I don't have the exact number. It's definitely going to be worth people trying, and it's going to be two categories of pricing. The orchestra seats for $65, which is, I mean, those are fantastic seats. I mean, we're not talking about nosebleed back of the room. Orchestra seats for $65.
Oh, that's great. You don't have to bring an instrument with you either, right?
Nope.
No, you're not actually playing in the orchestra. It's just where you're sitting. And also, there are some Lowe's seats that are going to be released, too, this afternoon at 5 o'clock, and those are $45. So, man, that is going to be so much fun. And I got it's funny. You talked about seeing Patton in some of the off-the-wall clubs and stuff like that. Where did you first start playing, Kevin, when you got into comedy here in Southern California? What kind of places are available for a new guy starting out in this town?
Well, when I started out doing comedy, you know, I really did it backwards. I came to Los Angeles without an act. I never even did stand-up comedy. Most comics come to L.A. and they're all polished and they're ready to go, you know. So I kind of came here, and at the time they were having open mics everywhere, you know, like restaurants were having them and dance clubs. And you do it sometimes right on the dance floor. And so you worked anywhere you could, and you kind of, you know, you hung around with the other comics, so you kind of knew which clubs were opening and who was having a comedy night. And then, of course, there was the standard, you know, the Comedy Store and the Improv.
Right.
Is that a miserable
thing to do, or is it something that you're so glad you have to go through because that trial by fire enables you to handle any audience, no matter how hostile or disinterested they are?
Well, you know what? I tell people I love that phase of my career, is going through open mic nights and standing in line and, you know, finding out where they were and hanging out with the other comics. It was so exciting because, you know, you had your whole career ahead of you, and this was your training ground, and it was exciting, and, you know, you weren't, like, you know, jaded at all. You know, you get up on stage and your heart was beating still, and, you know, you had to sit in the toilet like for an hour before you went on. You know?
Good times.
Don't you feel, Kevin, the way your career has been going, that you're heading right straight back to open mic nights anytime now?
I'm going right back to the toilet.
Here's one email from a K-Rock listener that we love that we've had on the show. He's one of our medical advisors on the Kevin and Bean Show. Dr. Mo wrote in yesterday, and here's what he had to say, Kevin. I think you'll love this. Hey, guys, way back in the mid-'80s, when I was living in the dorms at UCLA, Kevin frickin' Nealon performed at our rinky-dink hall lounge when he was just getting started in his comedy career. I remember it like it was yesterday because, seriously, the guy killed. It didn't matter that he was on some podunk stage in front of a bunch of college students, some wearing sweats and slippers who just wandered down from their dorm rooms. He worked the room like you wouldn't believe. He had the whole room in hysterics. We were talking about it for months afterward. And personally, I felt like I got to see this guy who did a stand-up routine in my dorm in the movies and on SNL and now Weeds. I sort of felt like I knew him. Anyway, he's always awesome when he's on your show. Can't wait for the comedy show on April 3rd. So there's a fan who still has a memory of you back in the 1980s doing the dorm room, dude.
That's nice. And guess who booked me for that?
Who was it?
It was another student at UCLA by the name of Judd Apatow.
Are you kidding me?
Yep.
Oh my gosh.
You go that far back with Judd and he won't put you in any of his movies?
I'm thinking if I've been in a Judd Apatow movie. No, mostly Sandler movies, I think.
Yeah. Kevin and Bean's first annual April Foolishness. Again, if you missed the announcement, some more tickets are being released on sale this afternoon at 5. Of course, it sold out in literally like a couple of minutes when we put them on sale a couple of weeks ago. So this is a big, big opportunity to be there. Yeah, it was an instant sellout. I mean, it's such a great lineup. Kevin Nealon is on the bill. Jimmy Kimmel, Jay Moore, Patton Oswalt, Joe Rogan, Ray Romano, Jeffrey Ross, Sarah Silverman. And, of course, Cleto and the Cletones are going to be playing music for us all night long, too. Kevin, we love having you on the show. We can't wait to see you in person next Friday night, man.
I love it. Would you remind me again when the show is? Yes,
a week from tonight at the Gibson. You better be there, dude.
Oh, let me write that. I'm going to write that down right now.
I think that's a good idea. See you there, dude. Have a great weekend.
Okay, thank you.
Hey!
Coming up.
That Kevin one had it. On the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. Coming up after the news at 8 o'clock this morning, we'll talk to the guy who has been able to talk hundreds of thousands of people into signing up a petition to try to force the president to reveal his actual birth certificate. They believe he is not a U.S. citizen, therefore is not eligible to have been elected president. He is constitutionally ineligible to run this country, and he's not going to quit until somebody listens to him. So we're going to listen to him coming up this morning after 8 o'clock. We were talking to Kevin Nealon a few moments ago about the April Foolishness show, which is 1 week from tonight at the Gibson Amphitheater. It is completely sold out. Some more tickets are going to be released at 5 o'clock this afternoon, so you do have a chance still to buy some good seats to see that show. Or you can call right now at 1-800-520-1067 if you'd like to play a new game that we're going to debut coming up next. Give you a chance to earn those tickets here this morning. So if you're a fan of the comedy, give us a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. You can play a game to win tickets to Kevin Bean's first annual April Foolishness. All right, now you can dial.
Okay.
Offspring, as you know, we've been hooking you up all week long with tickets for their show coming to the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. We promised you the grand prize drawing Friday morning, destination number 7 of K-Rock's World Tour 2009. This is the call we are making to try to send somebody to see the Offspring anywhere they want to go where the Offspring is playing on their world tour. What city are we calling here, Michael?
Looks like we are calling Corona.
Oh, okay.
All right. So if your phone's ringing in Corona, pick it up. Sounds like us. Not a good sign. We do ask when you win, where are you going to be Monday morning at 7:20 so that we can call you? And it would be great if you actually gave us that number where you are.
Well, they could be in the shower or something. That happens.
Hey, you reached Melissa. Leave a message.
Oh!
Oh, Melissa.
Melissa.
Boo.
You whore. What are you? You not home yet?
Wait.
Press 5. When you are finished recording, hang up. Or for delivery options, press pound.
Whatever happened in the days where there was just a beep where you didn't need instructions on how to use a telephone?
Who needs those? Who uses those?
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Melissa, it's Kevin and Bean Show calling. World famous K-Rock, congratulations. You not only won Offspring tickets for the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater, you are the grand prize winner to go see the Offspring anywhere around the world.
I'm going to be Melissa. Are you kidding me? What? No way. I won? I've never won anything.
Nah,
oh, my God.
If I'm lying, I'm dying. You are the grand prize winner, Melissa. Destination number 7 for K-Rock's World Tour 2009. Get in touch with K-Rock somehow, or we'll call you later and work out all the details. But congratulations. Boy, wasn't that anticlimactic. Okay. So we took care of that, which means we must be done giving away stuff, right? There must be no more music shows that we can send you to, no more amazing trips around the world.
Wrong again, because now we unveil destination number 8 for the K-Rock World Tour 2009, and I think you're going to like this very much, especially if you're a fan of a little band called Depeche Mode. Listen up.
K-Rock World Tour 2009. Destination 8.
Hi, this is Dave Garn from Depeche Mode. Get on the K-Rock World Tour standby list and you could see us in Berlin, Germany.
Win tickets all weekend to see Depeche Mode. August 19th, Honda Center in Anaheim.
Tickets on sale Monday at 10.
Listen for your boarding call Monday morning, and you'll be flying to Germany to see Depeche Mode in Berlin.
Listen to K-Rock all this weekend.
K-Rock. Starting today at noon.
Linkin Park on K-Rock. Hey. Weezer coming up next, along with Ralph Showbizbee and the man who claims Barack Obama is not eligible to be president, all on the way. So it's not that Miss Cleo isn't smart. She's a very bright young woman. It's just that she hasn't needed to use the spelling skills because she's young enough to have come of age after spell check. So she doesn't have to know how to spell.
Hold on. Where's this she's a bright young woman? It's not that she's not smart
whatever,
thing
Ralph.
Coming from. Where is that? What are you basing that on?
Conversations that I've had with Miss Cleo where she doesn't sound like a dumbass.
All right, if you've had those.
I mean, what about that? Lisa, what do you think? Cleo doesn't strike me as a dumb person.
No, I don't think,
I don't think she's dumb. I would classify her as ditzy.
Sure.
And I do think she has lapses in judgment. And I think that
boy,
she doesn't.
You being nice.
She's ditzier than any other woman with cans that big. I mean, that just kind of comes with the
that might be a good point.
She hasn't had to develop in other areas, perhaps. But the spelling
all
is what
right.
we're going to focus on here
That's
now.
The game.
Miss Cleo,
and she's cranky
answers,
too. She's not being dumb. She's also cranky.
Miss Cleo answers the phones here at K-Rock, which means that she types up on a computer screen that all of us can see all over the radio station. Whatever's going on, whether it's the person and what they're calling about, or what city they're from, or what the prizes we're giving away, or who the winner is. I mean, there's any number of things that she has to type up on the screen, and about one in every four words that Miss Cleo types up seems to be misspelled some days.
Yeah.
And that's what we're talking about here today. In fact, what's this new game called that we're going to play for April Foolishness tickets?
Well, let's play the intro and we'll find out.
Big boob, small brain, Miss Cleo has. Big boob, small brain, because she can't spell. Big boob, small brain, she's lucky she has double D's. Big boob, small brain, it's time for her spelling bee.
Be glad you have boobs.
Big boob, small brain.
I love this room.
Name of our new game.
God,
I think Omar really hits his groove when he does Calypso stuff.
That's because he's from the islands.
Yeah.
Sure. All right. So here, the way the game is played, it's just like what we do. Does Kevin know? We're going to have listeners on the phone, and one by one, Ralph will give the word that is going to be spelled, and all they have to do is tell us whether they think Miss Cleo is going to be able to spell the word correctly on the first try or not. If they're right, if the person is right and correctly identifies what Cleo is going to do, they go into the drawing to win the tickets. Everybody have the game?
Yes.
Got it.
All right. Let's try. Contestant number one on the line is going to be Jody. We'll just take these in order, Michael. Jody
yes,
is in Torrance on line one. Hey, Jody. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, good morning, Kevin Bean. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Jody. How you doing?
All right. I know this is going to be tough because you don't know Miss Cleo, but trust us when I tell you she's a bad speller. But is she bad enough that she won't be able to spell the word that Ralph Kramer is about to give you?
Right. I'm an English teacher, so I hope I can get it right.
Okay, Jody, you have to decide whether Miss Cleo will be able to spell or not the word atheist.
I don't think so.
All right. Okay, Miss Cleo, hey, no pens writing down,
what?
By the way.
Oh, no, she can do that.
No, she spells it out loud.
She spells it out loud.
Like,
she doesn't write it down
and
figure it out.
Like on a spelling
right,
bee, Lisa.
Fine. Atheist. A-T-H-E-I-S-T.
That's correct. Atheist is correct.
Oh,
sorry, Jody.
Sorry, Jody. Okay. So far, very impressive. Chris in Camarillo on line two. Hey, Chris, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, Lisa.
Hello.
All right. Listen up. Here's your word.
Forfeit. The man cheated, so he had to forfeit the match. Forfeit.
No, I don't think you can.
No? Okay. Cleo?
Forfeit. F-O-R-F-I-E-T.
No.
Congratulations.
Correct.
Well done.
Dude's laughing at her.
Foolishness.
I know I can't spell. So
Cleo
what?
Has a little bit of trouble with the I before E and E before I. She does that does confuse her sometimes.
Yes.
All right. Jonathan in Placentia is our next contestant. Jonathan, listen up. Here's the word from Ralph Garman.
The word is descend, Jonathan.
Descend.
Descend. I put on my seatbelt before the plane started to descend.
I'm going to think she can do it.
She can do it. I'm telling you, I can't. Okay. Cleo, the word is descend.
D-I-S.
Whoops, sorry.
D-I-C.
D-I-C.
Whatever. Let's go. Next contestant.
That one she gave up on before she even started. Wow. Jonathan, you are in the drawing.
Congratulations, Jonathan. For those who are playing at home, descend is D-I-C.
Wait. No, Jonathan said she could spell it.
Yeah, he's out of the running.
I hung up on Jonathan. He's back.
Oh.
I agree. Okay.
Go ahead, Ralph. It's D-E-C is what where she got started off the wrong foot, right? D-E-S-C, right?
You want to do it?
Maybe I'm not the only one who can't spell.
D-E-S-C-E-N-D is descent.
That's what we're looking for.
Okay. You're playing at home.
All right, so far it's just Chris in the drawing. Let's try Jessica in Corona on line 4. Hey, Jessica, welcome to the show. Listen up. Here's the word.
Hey.
Ecstasy, Jessica. The word is ecstasy.
Ecstasy? Of course she could spell it.
She can spell it? Okay.
Yeah.
Cleo, the word is ecstasy.
E-X.
I'm sorry.
Bye-bye.
Oh, sorry,
of course
Jessica.
She can spell it. Ecstasy. E-C-S-T-A-S-Y. Ecstasy.
There's your spell check at work.
There you go.
Bill Gates has doomed you by creating that Microsoft word, hasn't he?
He has.
All right. Matt in Montebello on line 5. Hey, Matt. Welcome to the Kevin Beach Show. So far, only one person in the drawing has correctly identified whether Cleo could spell the word or not. Let's see how you do. Here's Ralph.
The word is vacuum, Matt. Vacuum.
No.
Space is a vacuum.
Okay. Did I say that loud?
It, loud enough, but continue. Yes.
Cleo, the word is vacuum.
Big boom, small brain.
All right, let's give her a try here.
V-A-C-C-U-M.
No, I'm sorry. V-A-C-U-U-M is the proper way to spell
it. Big boom, small brain.
And I believe Matt said no way,
they
so
did.
He's in the drawing, right?
Yeah, he's in the drawing.
All right, we got time for two more. Let's try Jason in Victorville on the Kevin and Bean Show. Jason, listen up. Find out if Miss Cleo can spell this word or not. Let's see what you think.
Jason, the word is thorough. After the skunk sprayed my dog, I had to give him a thorough washing.
I'm going to say no.
You're going to say no. Okay. Cleo, the word is thorough.
Good call. Good call,
the word
Jason.
Is thorough.
All right. Thorough. T-H.
Yes.
U-R.
Oh, I'm sorry. Congratulations, Jason.
All right. We're on the roll now. One more is going to be Ken in Long Beach.
Ken.
By the way, is Lightning really in shooting video of this?
Yeah. Yeah. Pointless video.
I'll look forward to seeing this on the website later today.
It's just evil.
All right. Where are we? Ken, welcome to the show. Listen up. Here's your word.
Ken.
What's up, guys? What's up, Lisa May?
Hi, Ken. How are you doing?
Ken, the word is gauge. I wasn't out of gas. I had a faulty gauge.
I'm going to say no.
You're going to say
boy,
no.
Ken. Good call.
Okay. Miss Cleo, the word is gauge.
Big boom, small brain.
All right!
Jeez. Very cranky, actually.
G-A.
Big boom, small brain.
I-G.
All right.
G-A-I-G.
Now I'm disturbed.
Remember all that I said about how she wasn't dumb? All right. Now it's Chris and Matt and Jason and Ken. Only one can win tickets for the sold-out Kevin and Bean April Foolishness show at the Gibson 1 week from tonight. Who's it going to be, Lisa?
Okay. The winner is Ken in Long Beach.
Miss Cleo, can you spell Ken?
F you.
Wow. It's going to be the evil
eye.
Ken, way to be, dude. We'll see you next Friday night at the Gibson, all right?
Sweet. I'll see you guys there.
All right.
Thanks for playing.
Big boom, small brain. Be glad you have booze.
Okay, I got it. Weezer. P.
H. L.
It's too hard. I have big boobs, and it's too hard to think. 7:55 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Should Barack Hussein Obama be automatically disqualified from being allowed to serve as president because he's a goddamn foreigner? He wasn't even born in this country. That's the
he's an Arab.
He is an Arab. We know that. And a Muslim.
And a Muslim.
But was he not born in the U.S.? That's what we're going to find out when we talk to our next guest coming up after 8. Plus, Ralph's got the movie beat and the beautiful, talented Emily Blunt.
First, though, time for the show.
All right.
By the way, they do their best in this Sunshine Cleaning movie that she'll be talking about to dirty her up, to make her as unattractive as possible. Still doesn't work. Still so hot.
I don't think they're trying to make her unattractive. She's just sort of like a wild child kind of attractive. She's all tatted up, and she's sort of out there, and she's just living the life.
Thrift shop
kind
clothing.
Of a rough life. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, all of that straight ahead. First, what's going on in the world of Hollywood?
Before I get to the showbiz news, I do want to give you a heads up in case it's ever crossed your mind. You know, I'd like to be stuck in a house full of strangers with cameras watching me 24 hours a day for weeks on end. If that's you, they're having a new casting call for Big Brother 11 coming this summer if you'd like to try out. It's tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at 7700 West Sunset Boulevard here in the City of Angels. You need to fill out your application before you show up, though, so you can go to cbs.com/casting. Print out your application, fill it out, and show up tomorrow between 11 and 4 p.m. for Big Brother 11.
All right.
I could never do that show because they'd take me out in handcuffs because I'd murder somebody about week
one. You would. Absolutely.
Sure.
They'd get on your last nerve on the first day.
Yeah. I don't have that kind of tolerance. But that's what makes for good television.
Yes.
Maybe I should try out.
And someone always, there's always at least a couple people that hook up during the course of a Big Brother summer, too.
Well, it's like summer camp. I don't think it can be avoided, you know? I think it's just a matter of close proximity and hormones and cocktails.
Sure.
And the next thing you know, boom. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, got a lot of gum action going on over here. I take my gum out of my mouth, realized I came on the air with gum in my mouth. And then I put it on a piece of paper. And then I realized I needed that piece of paper. So I tried to transfer the gum from this piece of paper to another piece of paper. And I just have a long string of gum attaching the two pieces of paper.
Ropey strands.
Oh. So it's a mess over here. It's completely
this
mess.
Radio thing is tougher than people know.
I literally can't chew gum and do it at the same time. It's that old cliche. Chopping Block was canceled by NBC. Apparently the ratings were not good on that new show over there. Also, people wondering what's going to happen with Kings, the new widely critically acclaimed show on NBC, but it's struggling to find an audience. So we'll have to wait and see. But have you seen any of The Kings?
I haven't.
I've seen an episode, and it's really good.
Anjay Kopitar. I've seen him a couple times.
That's a different kind of king.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Two roadies from Britney Spears' tour have been arrested in Pittsburgh.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah.
What'd they do?
The acorn doesn't fall far from the tree, does it?
Nope.
I don't even know what that means in this situation. But
why not?
Two employees of Britney Spears were arrested Thursday morning after they assaulted police officers who tried to break up a fight.
Why, Brittany, why?
Apparently one guy's name was Rocky Lee Dickey Jr. Let me tell you something. If your name is Rocky Lee Dickey Jr., you're going to prison.
You can't avoid it. It's preordained.
At some point in your life, you are going to do some time. The other man, Alex Montez, went to jail. Apparently, Rocky Lee Dickey was hitting another man on the sidewalk when a patrol car drove up around 1 a.m. Rocky Lee took a swing at one of the officers who intervened and had to be subdued with a taser.
Oh, fantastic. Did he live?
He lived, yes.
Oh, okay.
Alex Montez, 23, the other guy, put one of the officers in a headlock.
Oh, that's frowned upon.
They don't care for that, so they both went to jail. The victim, the guy they were both beaten on, had to be taken to a hospital for facial injuries.
Wow.
So, no word yet on whether they will be returning to Britney's crew anytime soon.
Ricky Lee sounds like he
Rocky
needs to
Lee.
Be in the... Rocky Lee, sorry. Yes. Sounds like he needs to be in the Talladega Nights movie.
Rocky Lee Dickey Jr. That may be my favorite name I've ever said. Rocky. By the way, Rocky, R-O-C-K-E-Y. Rocky Lee.
Sure.
Dickey Jr.
Wow.
Don't ask Miss Cleo to spell that.
No, I won't. She, by the way, did not take that game in the spirit of which it was tended. She's a little cranky in the other room.
More adorable than usual.
She's a little cranky in the other room. So.
Yeah.
She's picking up the phone. People are calling in. Yeah, I know I can't spell. So what? Hanging up on listeners. It's just horrible things going
Hilarious.
On. It's kind of funny. Pete Wentz.
Oh!
Says becoming a father has changed everything in his life.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Even his attitude towards music, Lisa.
Oh, my God.
He said he's putting Fallout Boy on the back burner.
What?
That's good news. The bad news, he plans to record a collection of lullabies.
Give it up!
Wow.
So, get that to look forward to for Pete Wentz.
Hey, bud. I just got the new Fallout Boy song on my B-Cast phone. It gets me pumped!
Psycho Mike in the gym.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Quentin Tarantino is 46 years old today. Mariah Carey turns 39. Elizabeth Mitchell from Lost. She plays Juliet on that program. She's very good. 39. And Fergie of Black Eyed Peas turns 34 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I love conspiracy theories, and I believe about half of them, and that's why I'm eager to hear what our next guest has to say. Let's welcome Joseph Ferrer to the show. He is a petitioner asking for the public release of President Obama's birth certificate. Joseph, thanks for coming on today, man. How are you?
You bet. I'm good, except I'm not a practitioner of any conspiracy theories, but
okay.
Why don't we begin?
Yeah, let's begin. What's your beef with President Obama?
Well, my beef with President Obama right now is that he obviously has no respect for the Constitution of the United States because he has never released his birth certificate to the public for inspection. He's never released it to any government agencies that could verify that he is indeed constitutionally eligible to serve as President of the United States. Article 2, Section 1 of the Constitution is very clear. It says no person except a natural-born citizen or a citizen of the United States at the time of the adoption of this Constitution shall be eligible to be to the office of president. In order to establish that you're a natural born citizen, you must produce a birth certificate, which is something mm-hmm. that Obama has never done, despite his pleadings to the contrary.
Now, he has released a copy of the birth certificate, though, and that's been pretty widely disseminated on lots of websites, right?
He hasn't. And he hasn't released a birth certificate. What he has released is what is called the short form certificate of live birth. And it does not establish that he is a natural born citizen of the United States because it doesn't provide evidence that he was actually born in Hawaii. And let me explain this. In 1961, when Barack Obama was reportedly born in Hawaii, in the state of Hawaii, you could register a foreign birth, and you would be given one of these short-form live certificates of birth. So the document that has been released by the campaign and by others doesn't even address the central question.
Let me stop you right there, Joseph, because of the counter-argument to that you'll find on sites like factcheck.org or Snopes.com.
No, you won't find any. Listen, I'll tell you exactly what factcheck.org says. And it backs me up 100%. I have the quote right in front of me if you want me to read it. The document is a certification of birth, also known as a short form birth certificate. The long form is drawn up by the hospital and includes additional information such as birth weight and parents' hometowns. The short form is printed by the state and draws from a database with fewer details. Factcheck.org attempted to get a copy of the birth certificate. We all know what a birth certificate is. Everyone's got one. What they have released is not a birth certificate, and Obama wouldn't release it to factcheck.org either.
Okay, the Snopes.com says, here's what they say, their quote is, the state of Hawaii, Statute 338, would not have allowed Barack Obama's parents to obtain a Hawaiian birth certificate for a foreign-born child, as that statute was not enacted until 1982, 21 years after Obama's birth.
Okay, let me tell you something about Snopes.com. It has been cited as the source for establishing Barack Obama's eligibility to be president by members of Congress and so forth. The idea that we would rely on, you know what Snopes.com is? It's two people. It's a husband and wife.
I'm not saying rely on that, but when you go to their site and you see copies of, say, the newspaper report from the week of Obama's birth that shows in August of 1961, it shows in the Hawaiian newspapers, two of them, the Advertiser and the Star Bulletin, you actually see those people had that baby on that date on that island, though. Doesn't that count for something?
No, it doesn't count for anything. When we're talking about the President of the United States, are you going to go by classified ads that were supposedly put in Hawaiian newspapers? That's not how we should be established.
You know, Joseph, here's the thing. There are a lot of people who would love for you to be correct. Rush Limbaugh, John McCain. There's a ton of people who would benefit from the information that Obama was not born in the U.S. Clearly,
I'm not saying he was.
They...
Wait a minute. I want to be very clear here, Lisa. You have not heard me say that Barack
You want
Obama
him to prove it. But what I'm saying is, obviously, you're raising the question of whether or not he was born here. And what I'm suggesting is there are some really powerful people who, if there was a question, would have dug this up already. because it would only benefit them.
It's been pretty thoroughly. It's been pretty thoroughly vetted, hasn't it? Don't you think?
Show me one government agency. Do you know we canvassed all state attorney generals and all secretaries of state, all 50 states, to determine when they had elections in those states if anybody ascertained the eligibility of Barack Obama, and not one of them did. Now let me say something very important here, because I'll bet your listeners don't know this. Do you know we had congressional hearings to establish whether John McCain was eligible to run for president?
And
because he was not born here. Yes.
That's correct. Whether he was a natural-born citizen, and the determination was that he was. Why didn't we have any hearings for Barack Obama?
I can answer that question because it is widely believed by virtually everyone except for those on the fringes that he was an American-born citizen born to an American mother in an American state.
But you don't
have
any evidence to back that up. You don't even know who his mother is without a birth certificate. You don't know who his father was without a birth certificate. You don't know what hospital. Tell me something. Why is it that there is not one hospital in the state of Hawaii that is saying, you know, we're proud to be the home of Barack Obama, his birthplace. Any other president, a hospital would be, you know, using this, sending out press releases and glorifying itself. We have sent private detectives to every hospital in Honolulu and could find no evidence of his birth in any of them. Explain this to me.
Joseph, what do you think is the cover-up here? Do you believe that he wasn't born in Hawaii? Is that what you're getting at?
Well,
and that's why you think the whole thing's been manufactured?
I would say there's a lot of evidence to suggest he wasn't. You have his grandmother, his paternal grandmother, supposedly. Again, we don't know who his father is, and we don't know who his mother is. But if Barack Obama Sr. was indeed his father, his mother says she was there at the birth in Mombasa, Kenya.
And that has been widely investigated and has
by
been declared
who?
A
by
mistranslation.
Who? By who? I only know one reporter who went to talk to her, and it's my reporter, Jerome Corsi. Tell me another person, a government agency, a reporter who has gone to talk to her.
Well, in the articles that I've read on this topic, there isn't any evidence that his mother traveled outside of the United States. Well, that's all I can do is read articles. I mean, obviously, I don't have reporters in the field like you do. But, I mean, everything that I've read suggests that it has been investigated and it has been determined that it is not the case, what you're saying, that he was born in Africa.
That's because you read Snopes and FactCheck.org. But
and lots of newspaper articles.
Look, do you know of any other news agency that has sent a reporter to Kenya to investigate this?
It seems to me like there's been lots of people, 60
Nobody.
Minutes and others, who have gone, have dug out a lot of relatives of Barack Obama's back in Africa.
And nobody else had a reporter who was detained in Kenya because of his investigation there. So, you know, look, you can believe Snopes.com. I don't care. You can believe
I believe 60 Minutes.
And what did 60 Minutes find?
Bean said that they looked into this as well.
Well, what I'm saying is that there have been a lot of
That's
reporters.
That's funny because I haven't seen 60 Minutes a birth certificate.
Right. So that's basically if the original birth certificate were released, you'd be satisfied.
Well, not exactly, because if it shows that Stanley Ann Dunham was his mother and Barack Obama Sr. was his father, I still don't believe he's a natural-born citizen, because the court cases on this test show that one parent needs to be a citizen. And she did not meet the test at that point because she was only 19 years old. And you have to establish residency at least 5 years or 6 years as an adult. So she did not pass the test either. So again, there are a multitude of questions, but it all starts with the birth certificate. First, we have to establish who his parents were.
Alex just sent me an article that says CNN sent reporters to Kenya to interview Obama's grandmother.
Well, good for them. What'd they find?
That you're wrong.
We have recordings of her saying this. We have recordings that were made by our reporter.
Well,
how,
no one
how
else
are
could
we
say
wrong?
That.
We've played them.
In Kenyan, though, I mean, is it possible that there was a mistake in the translation, though, Joe?
No, she speaks English. English is the language of Kenya.
So do you think that this is going to go anywhere? I mean, you as of this morning on your petition, you've got 344,000 people who have signed up to ask for this birth certificate to be. What do you think will happen?
It won't go anywhere as long as the press and media in this country take the position that you guys take, which is it's all been investigated. And anybody who says anything else is a conspiracy theorist. Be curious. Be a watchdog. That's what the media is supposed to do.
I am completely down with you on that, Joseph. I don't think you're a crazy person. I think it's a legitimate question to be raised. Believe me, I don't want to live in a country where something like this might be covered up and somebody ineligible to be president becomes president. I really don't. I mean, if what you're saying is true, I would like to see it vetted on more than just, you know, a website like yours.
Well, I mean, good for you. I appreciate that. And I appreciate the time you've given me here, because I think that we've dealt with a lot of the, you know, misinformation out there that is just being spread around. It's like, oh, well, you know, we'll let rumors decide who's going to be the president of the United States.
What's the easiest website for our listeners to remember if they want to get more information about what you're talking about, Joe?
WND.com.
WND.com. All right. Joseph Farah, petitioner. 344,000 signatures are with him so far to get the birth certificate released. We'll see what happens. Thanks for coming on. Have a great weekend, dude.
Thank you, guys.
This, you should see the emails coming in about the guest that we just had on the last segment. People are really pissed that we had the guy on the air. Here's one that says we're giving him giving this moron a forum to spread his demon seed that can only do harm. I don't have any problem with asking the question.
No,
I don't have to believe the guy, but
right.
I think it's worth discussing. I think it's worth throwing it out there for people who are interested in finding out more information.
I think it was very entertaining. He didn't upset me at all because he
didn't upset me at all.
But you can't really accomplish something by just trying to shut the lid on stuff. I mean, so we talk about it. So what?
No, it's better to expose a goofball like that, I think, than to let him live in the darkness.
People can make up their own minds. I mean, I don't care.
You can tell by his anger, though, that he wasn't rationally approaching this.
Extremely angry.
Because you could take a birth certificate or a gift certificate and jam it right in his hinder.
Yeah,
and
right,
he wouldn't
right
be answering.
That wouldn't satisfy him.
No, how do I know where this came from?
Exactly. Where does where does she live? Where does he live? When do I go to Kenya? When have you been to Kenya? Where is Kenya? Is Kenya real? There'd be a whole list of questions.
Is there really a place called Kenya? The bottom line is he doesn't like President Obama. That's fine. He's entitled to that opinion. All right. 8:30 on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday. That means it's time for the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
I am much more concerned with the fact that Fred Durst has directed a movie that's being released this weekend.
Again?
Than I am about this guy looking for Obama's birth certificate.
Now, he did that bad sports movie last year.
The Long Shots.
With Ice Cube, I believe.
The Long Shots. Yeah, that faded into oblivion last summer. Now he's got The Education of Charlie Banks. Where a college student has to face some old problems when a troubled young man from his past arrives on campus and begins to insinuate himself into Charlie's life. All right.
Okay.
I told you. It's out there.
That's you putting the bad information out there for people to take it or leave it.
Take it for what it's worth. Let's take a look at some good movies opening this weekend, shall we? 12 Rounds. Can this movie do for John Cena from the WWE what Scorpion King did for Dwayne The Rock Johnson? That remains to be seen, but I know the movie looks damn good. 12 Rounds does. I love me some action thrillers, especially when there's a bad guy pressing a good guy to jump through hoops for him, and that's what this movie's all about. After Detective Danny Fisher, played by John Cena, has accidentally killed the girlfriend of the bad guy in this movie, he escapes from prison, kidnaps Danny's girlfriend, played by Ashley Scott, by the way.
Oh!
Delish. And then he's got to do 12 challenges in order to save her life. Kind of like the labors of Hercules, if you've ever read about your mythology.
Okay.
All right.
Sure, why not?
Okay. Yeah. He's swole. He could be Hercules.
John Cena. Here's a scene from the movie. The bad guy talking to John after kidnapping his girlfriend, telling him how things are going to go down.
Let me talk to her.
How do you know she's not dead already? I'm just teasing, Danny. Come on. Come on, where's your sense of humor? Here, say hello to your boyfriend.
Danny, please, we're in a silver bait.
Molly, I'm going to find you. I'm going to hunt you down and I'm going to kill you.
Well, you know what? I look forward to that, Danny.
It's a game. What, you like games, don't you? Mousetrap, Monopoly.
This one's called 12 Rounds.
Ah!
Guy is got a pretty good attitude for somebody who's just been threatened with death, by the way. Yeah, I look forward to that. That sounds like a good time. Come on over.
Because he's evil, man. He doesn't
care.
He's
maniacal.
He's El Maniaco. Also opening this weekend, The Haunting in Connecticut. This movie's about Connecticut and someone's
haunting there.
Haven't seen this one either, have you, Ralph?
No, I haven't. This is about a family who relocates northern Connecticut. As soon as they settle into their new home, they come face to face with their home's unsettling history and supernatural forces who share it with them.
I wouldn't say I'm looking forward to it.
Here's a scene. Now, this scene, someone's in the shower calling out to the new owner of the house to get out before it's too late.
Hi. We're not home right now. Leave a message.
I made a terrible mistake. You must get out now.
Get out now!
Too late.
Good clip. Good clip.
Too late. Dude, the haunting got her. You don't know.
Okay. No.
All right. You don't know. And lastly, Monsters vs. Aliens. This is the movie that Mr. Movie Phone had a stiffy for earlier in the show, if you heard him. Looks like an excellent little animated project for the people over at DreamWorks. This is starring Reese Witherspoon, Rainn Wilson, Stephen Colbert. Great cast. Seth Rogen. Here is the scene where the monsters meet the girl who they eventually will team up with to battle the aliens for the first time in prison.
Wow, look at you. I know what you're thinking. First day in prison, you want to take down the toughest guy in the yard. Well, I'd like to see you try. Gosh, look. She's speechless.
She?
Yes, Bob. We are in the presence of the rare female monster.
No way! It's a boy! Look at his boobies.
We need to have a talk.
It's a boy! Look at his boobies!
I'm going to see that. Monsters vs. Aliens.
I love Aliens.
Aliens. Good. Anything with aliens.
But I have a hard time watching 3D because once I saw a movie in 3D, it almost made my eyes explode into my head.
Oh, there's bonkers everywhere.
He actually told me that the other
really?
Earlier today. They've almost made like my eyes explode into my head. I was like, I don't even know what that means. Good times in the office. Sometimes I wish you guys could hear what goes on in the office.
We need to do a show where we film it all in the office and call it 10 a.m.
Monster. Far more entertaining than what's on the radio, I'll tell you that.
Monster vs. Aliens looks like it's entertaining for the whole family. A movie you can take the kids to and enjoy for yourself. Meanwhile, I'll be checking out 12 rounds because I need some gunplay this weekend. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie Beat.
Here's what I don't understand, Ralph Garman.
Yes.
You don't see the movies. How did you end up seeing this one?
This was one of those movies I saw the trailer and I said, yeah, this is for me. And then I got a chance to see a screening before the movie even came out a couple weeks ago. And I said, it is a perfect film. It's one of those movies that has no fat whatsoever. All the characterization and the script and the setting and the performances, just everything in it is just, it makes it a perfect little movie. And those don't come along very often.
They do not.
It's a rare gem. I've seen it as well. It is called Sunshine Cleaning. It is in theaters right now. And we're very happy to have one of the stars of the film, the beautiful Miss Emily Blunt, joining us on the Kevin Bacon Show. Hey, Emily, how are you?
Hello, I'm fine. How are you?
Well, this is a big thrill for us. We're all fans of your work, and I don't think we've ever had you on the Kevin and Bean Show before.
I don't think you have, but you've been so good to this little film, and so we all really appreciate it.
Well, it's a great movie, Emily. Did you know it would be something special when you read the script, when you were first looking at it?
It was one of those very unique scripts that makes you sit up a little bit, and then when I heard Amy was in it, and I'm a big fan of hers, you know, I was terrified and thrilled to work with her because she's so good, and so I was like, I'm going to have to bring my A game to this one.
I want you guys to be sisters in real life. I mean, it seems so much like you're watching actual family members with the relationship that you guys have in that movie.
Well, that's amazing that you say.
And very tough to watch as we see your characters reacting to the actual environment of some of those houses that you have to go in and clean.
Were That's you a nice way of saying it. She actually grew up. Yeah. So.
Were you a little bit worried that that part of the storyline, that topic, might be a little tough for some people to sit through?
Well, I think that was part of it, but I think it's almost like watching, you know, a lion stalk a sheep. You just can't look away. You know, you can't stop watching. And so I think that it was just one of those things that it's so horrific, but you can't stop watching it. And it was funny, I think, because I think that you needed, I think that it added this weird macabre feel to the whole film. And then I think it just ended up having a really strange tone that was offbeat and quite unique. And I think that's what people like, that it is funny and gory, but also it's quite profound at times.
Yeah, I thought some of the emotional darkness was harder to take than the physical stuff in the movie for me, actually.
Aww.
There's so much pain at the basis of the relationship between you and your sister in the film, and also with your dad, Alan Arkin, which, how good is Alan Arkin, by the way?
Oh, my God.
How fantastic is he in that?
He's too good.
I mean, I think it's to the film's credit that you don't shy away from that stuff in an attempt to kind of make it a quirky, lighthearted comedy. You know?
Yeah, well, I think, the reason they start up this biohazard cleaning company and the reason why it's so helpful to them is because it's actually cathartic for them to clean up other people's traumas in order to help them with their own mother's death.
Right.
And there's something it's such a unique idea, and I just hadn't read anything like that. So I think it was important to show both sides of the coin with this film.
Now, obviously, some of the stuff is just movie special effects. You didn't have to deal with real blood and whatnot. But some of that stuff, I mean, those are real maggots, right, Emily?
That's so creepy.
No, they were really gross. I mean, I didn't actually have to touch them. Amy got that task. It was disgusting.
Let me ask you, Emily, and it seems to be a more current theme in entertainment now than ever, but you do an effortless American accent in the film.
Well, that's nice, because I don't know. I need to hear it from you nice people. No, I have no idea.
It's absolutely true, and it seems to be a lot of British actors these days working here in America, and Australian actors as well, who just have no problem just knocking out an American accent, whereas it's so hard the other way around. American actors seem to have such a hard time with accents. Why do you think that is?
I think we're surrounded. I think the Brits are sort of surrounded by American sounds more than you are, English ones. And I think that the English accent's really hard to do, though. I mean, and there's so many variables to it. I mean, even within London, there's like six different accents within London. And so it is hard to get something that sounds authentic and throwaway. I think the tendency for both, when I started doing an American accent, the tendency was for me to overpronounce and to try and wrap my mouth around the words. But I think you have to just try and throw it away and relax into it and try not to think of it as an accent, but rather as creating a character of some sort.
It has to just be so distracting when you already have so much else going on to concentrate on. You're trying to play this character and react honestly to what's in front of you in the scene. And then you also have to go, oh, yeah, and I got to say it like a dumb American.
Yeah, and I actually do say that to myself. No, I think sometimes it throws me, but I think for me, I try and stay in the accent all day, which is weird, but it's kind of the only way I can get some kind of flow with it.
Laurie, I think, said about House to act in an American accent for him is like trying to play a violin with a fish. It's a matter of difficulty.
I think he's really selling himself short because he is so good at it.
Yeah, he is.
This is actress Emily Blunt that we have on the phone right now. By the way, we're talking about the film called Sunshine Cleaning that is well worth your time to seek out this week. And unfortunately, John Cena or no other wrestlers are in the movie, but I don't think that should keep you away from the cinema. Is this the darkest thing you've ever done, Emily, on screen in terms of the drugs and the sex and the kind of the debauchery and the bottoming out of your character?
I think when it comes to, physically the way she lives her life, but I didn't so much see her as a dark person. I think what she did was used as an escape process, but I played much darker, much more unpleasant people, and so for me it didn't seem like a dark process. I think that she is someone who's yearning for something more than her situation offered her, and the pot smoking and stuff is all just to escape for a while.
Right. Well, as you heard when we brought you on, Emily, Ralph, our movie reviewer, rarely goes to the movies. And when he does, he rarely likes anything he sees.
Them. Yeah.
Yeah. And the fact that he walked out still, raving about this film, because usually he hates everything. He's just a hater. He's a hateful, mean person.
I can hear you.
But he came out and he said, oh, my God, we've just witnessed something so special we have to tell people about. And I really appreciate you coming on and helping us spread the word about your lovely film with Amy Adams.
Thank you so much for everything you've done. We really appreciate it.
Our Sunshine pleasure. Cleaning is the name of the movie. Emily, you're welcome anytime on the Kevin and Bean Show. Please
Thank
come back
you.
Soon, all right?
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye. Ralph's got our final showbiz beat for a Friday morning. What's going on?
Here's a heads up. If you want to be on Big Brother 11, casting is this weekend for the 11th season of the CBS hit show Big Brother. If you'd like to go, it's tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Exclusive Casting Studios is the name of the joint. 7700 West Sunset Boulevard in Los Angeles. You have to bring a completed application along with you, so you can go to cbs.com/casting, print out your application, fill it out, and then bring it down there between 11 and 4 p.m. 7700 West Sunset Boulevard if you want to be on Big Brother 11. Britney Spears looks like she's taking her act on the road, not just with her new tour, but with her life. Life and Style magazine reports she is buying a home in New Jersey.
Yeah! Oh.
Which, if you know anything about New Jersey, is a perfect match. If she had only moved to Florida, could she be closer to her true self in terms of where in the United States she should live?
I almost can't believe she's not from New Jersey when I look at Britney Spears.
Well, she's a little too southern. She, you know, if you want, if you want East Coast sort of white trash loserdom, you go to Jersey. But if you want it from the South, you have to go either to Florida or Louisiana. So, but she'd be perfect in Florida or Jersey for that matter. Get a lot more buck, a bang for your buck, house wise in Jersey. By the way, apparently she's finding a place for $7 million. And it's got like 400 bedrooms or something. I don't know. It's a big house. But that's the word. She's going to move to Jersey. Can you imagine how happy people are in her neighborhood
that's
here?
That's what I was in just Los Angeles thinking.
With the paparazzi thinking, going someplace else?
Yeah, thinking about all the paparazzi whose job it is to follow Britney full-time. They're like, oh, my God, are you kidding me? We've got to move to New Jersey now?
We'll have to farm it out to the farm team out there in Jersey. Angelina Jolie is going on a crash diet, according to sources on the set of her new film, Salt.
What?
Yeah, Lisa, she's just too fat.
Oh, come on.
Oh, she's huge. She's got to be 100, 102 pounds now on her 9-foot frame. Apparently, she needs to drop 21 pounds in 21 days, she feels.
That's insane.
So she's doing the detox drink diet. Are you familiar with this?
Yes.
You, you consist solely on lemon juice, cayenne pepper, and maple syrup.
That's how Robin Quivers lost a ton of weight.
That's nuts, though.
It is nuts.
It's nuts. And look at Angelina Jolie, who, by the way, we see pictures of every single week. She doesn't have 5 pounds to lose.
She's got pipe cleaner arms.
Right.
Nuts.
People on the set are concerned that she's dropped so much weight and she's so weak she can't do her own stunts. Mike, what's that do for you, the lemon juice, cayenne pepper, and maple syrup? How does that? How did everyone concoct that as a good diet drink?
I guess the three ingredients you mentioned have some type of detoxifying properties. I don't know. I mean, I don't really know much about
it.
Are
they thermogenic? Because I think cayenne pepper is, right? It raises your metabolism.
It does, yeah,
helps
you
burn
any,
fat off.
Spices, capsaicin, which is the kind of main property of the spicy stuff, does raise your metabolism, so it helps you lose weight. But
I guess not eating.
If I just drank water for 21 days, wouldn't I lose a ton of weight?
You'd lose a ton of weight, I can't see that being healthy, that's all.
Well, you know, we could use it.
Medically speaking, for your height, your weight puts you on what we call the disgusting range.
That's right. Speaking of which, Michael Sarver, the fat oil worker on American Idol, he got booted off last night.
He's stocky.
He's fat. Come on.
Yeah, he deserved to be booted off
last
night.
Big fat oil worker.
I was surprised he got that far, although he does have a good voice.
I think he has a certain homegrown sort of all-American aw shucks charm about him.
He does.
Seems like a nice guy.
And you really kind of rooted for him.
That people respond to. He is in
Megan
the top
Joy
10.
Joy still on that show, by the way.
Yes,
how is she still on that? She's hot? Is that it?
The sleeved hot girl, the blonde who just twists and turns every time she sings.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bad ones still in the top 10. But look, at least Michael Sarver gets to tour because he's in the top 10.
So that's good.
He'll make a few bucks. Although I am getting tired of every time they talk to someone on American Idol saying, well, I'm doing this because it would change
my family's life. Yes.
Yeah.
They'll never see you.
If anyone had a job that gave them suddenly a lot of money, we get it. It would change your life. That's not a reason to do this. You have to be able to sing, fat oil worker. Today's celebrity birthdays. Fergie of Black Eyed Peas is 34 years old today. Elizabeth Mitchell, who plays Juliet on Lost, 39 years old today. Mariah Carey turns 39 as well. And Quentin Tarantino, the Q. He's 46 years old today.
Belle from Mariah Carey?
Well, yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah. Okay.
And crazy in bed, too. You know that.
And just
crazy in life.
But
I know
maybe
that.
Too self-absorbed. It might wash out the crazy.
You don't think she likes a little Nick Cannon?
Private Eye?
A little man cannon? A little Nick Cannon man cannon? You don't think she's enjoying that?
I'm sure he pleases her.
With his man cannon?
This man cannon.
This Nick Cannon man cannon?
His name's Nick Cannon. He has a man cannon, Bean, is what...
Didn't you ask Bean to please play the sound effect man cannon like
an
half
hour ago,
ago just begging for
man
it sometime?
Cannon.
Yeah!
Man cannon.
Jeez. It's hard. It's hard for a pimp in the city.
True.
Man cannon.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Quick word before we go, by the way. This afternoon at 5, we are releasing some more tickets for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 1 week from tonight at the Gibson. You can get those through Ticketmaster. Details at krock.com.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
My car just hit a water buffalo.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Oh, I can't believe it's not butter.
Roll another one.
Skyrockets in flight. Afternoon delight.
Just like the other one.
Make me a bicycle clown.
This one seems to be allowed to quit.
We've got ourselves a bleeder.
Need another hit.
Get off my lawn. I'm a lead farmer. I'm never gonna dance again. Look, kids, it's Big Ben.
Hi to Jane Biondi.
Another one.
Oh my goodness, we're gonna need a bigger boat.
Just like the other one.
Oh, good for you. Kelly Clarkson. I would do anything for love, but I won't do that.
Just pass it around. But don't bogart that joint, my friend. Just pass it on down.
Tap off into the blue line. He shoots. He scores! Say hi to Jane Biondi for me.
Okay, okay. Quit gawking. Show's over. Nothing to see here. Get about your business, huh? Go on.
God damn it, I love that show.
Me too, I want it to be on again right now.
It was the best show since no other show.
That was quite a show. Very entertaining. But it's over now. But it's over.
Love and chicken grease, man.
Okay, so you're free to go. But we're cool, right?
Well, this was a big bust.
That's what she said.
Don't forget, keep listening for your chance to win Depeche Mode tickets. We announced this morning destination number 8 of K-Rock's World Tour 2009, and that is Depeche Mode in Berlin. Why are you signed? What's the problem?
Well, you brought up tickets. It just bums me out because, you know, I'd like to go to this April Foolishness comedy show that Kevin and Bean are doing, but yeah. I can't get tickets. I wanted to buy tickets. I went online to buy tickets when they first went on sale. They were sold out so quickly I couldn't get tickets for the event, and now I'm not going to be able to go, which just bums me out because it sounds like a funny evening of hilarious comedy.
You're talking about the show that we're doing a week from tonight at the Gibson Amphitheater. Yes. Jimmy Kimmel's going to be there, Jay Moore, Kevin Nealon, Patton Oswalt, Joe Rogan, Ray Romano, Jeffrey Ross, Sarah Silverman, and Cleto and the Cletones from Jimmy Kimmel
Live. Don't rub it in. Don't rub it in just because you're going to April Foolishness because somehow you got tickets, but yet I was closed out when I went online to buy my tickets. They were sold out, and now I can't go.
Really? This is how we're going to do
it? You pipe down, woman.
All right.
I'm going to ruin it.
Continue, you Shakespearean actors, you.
Why, Ralph, I have some good news. It's just been handed to me.
What?
Some additional tickets for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness just went up at Ticketmaster.com for sale moments ago at 5 o'clock this afternoon. You have another chance to buy those tickets for that show.
My goodness. I will get on them now. I will get on the internet now and go to the sites that sell tickets.
Bean, how is that possible?
All right. Here's the deal, Lisa. Thank you for asking. It's an excellent question. I appreciate you playing along. What happens is we set up the Gibson Amphitheater the way we think it's going to appear the night of the April Foolishness. We know where everybody's going to be, what the best line of sight is. And then as they get closer to the show and they start to get the stage together and the set together and the lights together and all that, they go, hey, we got some extra seats that we blocked off because we thought they were bad seats. Now they're not bad seats. These are awesome seats. Now we can sell them. So that's what happened at 5 o'clock this afternoon just a few minutes ago. We released not just a few, but a couple of hundred great seats in the orchestra and in the Lowe's sections that you can get at Ticketmaster.com or charge by phone. You can go to the show is what I'm telling you.
What are you doing, Ralph?
I am logging on to Ticketmaster.com right now so I don't miss out on this great opportunity.
That's a great idea. I'm
going to
do that
too. I'm going to go first so I will get one of the several hundred tickets being released just moments ago before you will. And this time I will be sure to be able to go with tickets.
The beautiful thing is your ticket price of $65 or $45 for April Foolishness goes to a phenomenal charity. It is Boarding for Breast Cancer. And we couldn't be happier about the lineup next Friday night at the Gibson Amphitheater, an all-star one night only lineup comedy. How you doing? You getting through?
Wow,
you making it all right?
This is the long URL.
If you want to go, as of 5 o'clock this afternoon, additional seats have been released. So the show is, for a moment at least, not sold out. Log on or call, get your tickets, and we'll see you next Friday night. Kevin Bean's first annual April Foolishness from the world-famous K-Rock. Ralph Garman, I know how you are on Fridays. How do you feel about talking about beer in addition to just drinking beer during the show today?
It's my favorite conversation to have while enjoying my favorite beverage, that's for sure.
Well, I got some fantastic news for you because Hamish Rosser is on the line from Australia right now. Hamish, we've actually had on the show before with his other job, his day job as the drummer for the band The Vines, who have a new album by coincidence out this week. But he's on today talking about Skinny Blonde. Hey, Hamish, how are you, man?
I'm very well. How are you?
We're doing great. We understand that we're getting you on the phone in Australia right now. There's some sort of MTV show or party that you're at. What's happening down there?
Tonight is the Australian MTV Awards, and right now it's about 3:15 in the morning, but I'm still up.
Good man.
Good for you. Good for you. All right. Help me out here. Fill in the gaps in your resume for me. So you're a big-time rock and roll star, but on the side you're some sort of beer scientist? What's the deal?
That's exactly the story. So I have my own beer company. The beer is Skinny Blonde. I've been brewing it for a couple of years now, but we just put it in bottles, and we have a special label. And on the label is a pin-up girl, like a vibey girl. Mm-hmm. And when you drink the beer, gradually, the bikini on the poor little girl disappears.
As the beer bottle warms up, she loses her bikini.
That's exactly right. Yes.
Oh, that's genius.
That is.
I don't usually look forward to having a beer end. You know, I don't want to finish the beer. I want it to go on forever. But in this case, I'm looking forward to finishing it.
Exactly. It's one of the rare occasions where, you know, a warm beer is a better beer.
That's right. Now, where did this idea for Skinny Blonde come up? You and your mates were sitting around drinking, and you said, you know what would make this experience better is if we had a naked woman to look at.
Well, I mean, to me, it seemed like a massive no-brainer. Like, it really uses girls to advertise beer, so why not put one on the bottle? And then I think one night we were really drunk, and we came up with this idea, like, why not, you know, have the girl get naked as you drink the beer?
Sure.
Why not?
Now, here's the question I have for you, Hamish. So you're not just some amateur. I mean, you actually have a degree in chemical engineering. Is that right?
That's absolutely correct, yes. I have a degree in chemical engineering. I went to university for 4 years to get the qualification.
Okay. What was the plan that you were going to use that degree for? I somehow don't think you took those classes and got that degree so that you could make beer. What were you going to do?
Or drum for the Vines.
Actually, I was really bored with my degree by about the halfway point. And most people that do chemical engineering, they end up in petrochemicals, like the oil business. Refining oil into petrol, it's very boring, of course, to be honest.
And you thought, hey, there's a way to use my knowledge and use it for something that'll serve mankind, and that's by making a great beer. So is the beer great in addition to having a great-looking chick on the bottle?
Absolutely. No point in making this product if the beer wasn't amazing, and the beer is delicious.
Is it available here in the States, Hamish?
Not yet. But we've had a lot of inquiries from the States, and we would love to bring it over there. I have a feeling that the ATF or the TTF, whichever the authority is, I think they might have a problem with boobs. I mean, I was in the States when Janet Jackson had her boobs out on the Super Bowl, and that was a scandal.
But you have to be 21 to drink here in America, so certainly you can handle a pair of boobs if you're 21.
I would like to think so. I mean, given that America makes the majority of the world's pornography, I mean,
exactly.
That should be cool.
Right.
Exactly. Well, we'll do anything we can. We're all for having Skinny Blonde make it to the shores. But listen, I don't know if you can bring it on planes, but the next time you're in town, next time you're visiting K-Rock, bring along a case. We'd love to try it out. It sounds awesome, Hamish.
In the States, we'll make sure it's at the borders between Mexico and Canada. We'll get it everywhere.
All right. You could check out the picture of the girl on the bottle who disrobes as you drink. The website is skinnyblonde.com.au. We've been talking to Hamish Rosser. He is, of course, one of the brewmasters for the Skinny Blonde, also a drummer for a great K-Rock band called The Vines. Have a fantastic weekend down there in Australia. Thanks for joining us here on the world-famous K-Rock.
Pleasure.
Nine Inch Nails on the world-famous K-Rock.
Hey!
That's a Nine Inch Nails. By the way, I haven't seen a response from Chris Cornell about being bitch slapped by Trent Reznor in the press. Have you guys seen that? Trent is talking about how bad the new Chris Cornell album is that he did with Timbaland. And
really?
Haven't seen what Chris has had in response, but that sounds like a cage match that's ready to happen. I'd like to see that. So, All right, it's Friday afternoon. Kevin and Bean, Cinco de la Tarde, heading into the weekend with Depeche Mode tickets to give away all weekend long. Don't forget, grand prize drawing Monday morning at 7:20 to send someone to see Berlin to see the band in concert right now.
Wait, Berlin?
Awesome.
No, no, no.
Where?
I love that.
It's in Berlin.
There's a great song.
The concert is in Germany, the city of Berlin.
Metro? Oh, remember that?
Riding on the metro.
The big song on the Top Gun soundtrack. You know, Take My Breath Away.
Take My Breath Away. And I don't know what to say.
For details on that.
Here's Jack Wagner, I think. Wasn't that Jack Wagner?
You get to see Jack Wagner too?
He's like Wagner and Berlin. We win tickets for both of those?
Can we come back to Earth now?
Sex.
I used to love that. Anyway, T.I. is going away. Atlanta federal court sentenced the 28-year-old rapper today on federal weapons charges for buying machine guns and silencers.
Whoa.
T.I. is going away for a year and a day.
Why did the convict have to be a black guy? It is such a stereotype.
Doesn't have to be. He just, in this case, is. Clifford Harris is T.I.'s real name.
Clifford!
Now we know why he changed it. He's also ordered to pay $100,000 in fines. He has 30 to 60 days to report to prison. So, good luck, T.I.
A guy like T.I. gets pretty, he gets treated pretty well. People are happy to see him, excited to meet him. He doesn't have to worry about getting, you know, played
with. I'm going to say nope.com.
Yeah, he's not that kind of star. Mm-mm.
I'm going to say if you are a pretty hardened real gangster.
Watch me how I prove my stripes by taking out T.I.
I agree.
Interesting.
Poser mother
effer. See, I thought notoriety would help him in this case, but it sounds like no.
No, you want to be the guy that takes out the guy. You don't want to be the guy who goes up and sucks up to the guy.
Especially
a bitch.
Especially if he's like a hardened rapper and that's his persona.
Yeah, I'll show you hard.
Yeah.
Bitch.
I agree.
Look what's hard now, bitch. See what I'm saying?
They're pointing there. Okay.
I'm pointing here. See?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got me?
Now I get it.
TV show would be so much better if I did that. Oh, sad news for Dave the King of Mexico.
What?
Oh.
Veronica Mars, the movie.
Yes?
Not happening anytime soon.
Oh, no.
That's all that's been keeping the king alive.
I know. Creator Rob Thomas said he did pitch the story to Warner Brothers, but the New York Post says that he hasn't received an official no from Warner Brothers. He says he thinks it's being considered, but the chance of a quick green light just isn't there. He said, I'm a bit discouraged.
No, God! No, God, please, no! No! No!
He said, I wouldn't pronounce it dead, but it's like the wheezy old man they're trying to get on the cart to go to the graveyard in Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Not an encouraging allegory. Allegory?
What do you call it? Analogy?
Analogy. Yeah, not an encouraging analogy.
Oh, that makes me sad.
Oh, it makes my eyes explode into my brain.
It's making my belly hurt.
And lastly, I don't know if you taught. Taught? What's wrong with me?
Friday afternoon.
You want a drink?
It's been a long week.
It has.
Too much Australian beer.
I don't know if you've caught it over there on TMZ.com, our favorite entertainment news website, but they've got a very funny video up of Jennifer Lopez.
Yes.
At LAX. Being frisked to death by the TSA men and women there at security.
Really?
Really? Do they think Jennifer Lopez is Do you think Jennifer Lopez is posing a big threat as she gets on a flight to wherever she's going? Is she the real danger? But come on, Lisa. All right, so you stop her. There's a problem, right? She's going through a metal detector. You're having some kind of issue. You pull her aside. You wander or whatever.
Right.
And you send her on her way.
Right.
You don't. There's three women there, and they all strap on the latex gloves,
right.
And they're checking her armpits and her sleeves and her crotchal region and everything going on. You just don't need to do.
Clearly,
that.
They just want to get their hands on J-Lo. I mean, that's all it's about. Right?
It's a story they get to take home to their friends at happy hour after the shift is over. Guess who I manhandled today?
Right.
Now, this is at LAX, you're saying, right?
That's what I'm saying.
Which has hundreds of thousands of passengers every week that goes through.
So you
that
won't
place.
Even let me do the setups anymore? You have to play the punchline and do the setup for the J-Lo bits.
Ralph,
now you need to have it all.
You can't
say
that.
No, I was trying to. Now you need to set it up on your own and play the punchline. You need to do both parts of the joke.
That's
That's where your world is. That's how you live.
That's not what I'm trying to do at all.
That's what you're all about. That's you. You can't let me get into my own goddamn mother joke without coming in and stepping all over it and having to just take the lion's share and just start on your own.
That's who you are.
Story about Jennifer Lopez.
That's who you see in the mirror when you get up in the morning. That's you.
Maybe we could just skip it.
Consider it scupped.
Oh, that hurts. I was looking forward to it too.
I can tell you were. So much so that you raped by jumping all over the setup and just kicking me to the curb.
You can't but
usually,
talk like that.
Usually I say, wow, aren't there a lot of people going through LAX? And you go, well, yes, Bede. And then you go on and talk about how
No,
so
you didn't say that, though. You didn't say, aren't there a lot of people going through LAX? Here's the LAX where hundreds and thousands of people go through the terminals. You went full on into the setup.
Do you believe that there was somehow room for them to still wand her and frisk her, even though there were obviously thousands of other passengers?
Don't do it.
Too late.
Don't do it.
Too late.
Wow. This hurts. This is going to put me in a sour mood all weekend long about this. This is a terrible way to end the week, you guys.
Well, whose fault is that?
Word. I was just trying to help. That's all.
Quentin Tarantino's 46 years old today. Singer Mariah Carey turns 39. Elizabeth Mitchell from Lost. She plays Juliet on that very entertaining show. She is 39. And Fergie from Black Eyed Peas, newly married Fergie, celebrates her 34th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. Bean is an asshole. And I walk the showbiz beat.